talk to you tomorrow. Where's my music? It's not coming on.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Wall Street had a downer of a day. The Dow fell more than 300 points. This after the Federal Reserve Chairman's call for an economic stimulus package from Congress.
A fiscal stimulus package should be implemented quickly and structured so that its effects on aggregate spending are felt as much as possible within the next 12 months.
Ben Bernanke says it should be short-term, and no,
we're not forecasting recession, but rather at this point, slow growth.
President Bush plans to announce the framework for stimulus tomorrow. Congressional leaders are clear and together on it. Republican leader John Boehner and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sounded like echoes of each other today.
Right at the start, the president said that there was a need for us to proceed with the stimulus package. He understands the concerns of the American people, and that gives me hope that we can, working together, come up with something very soon.
When economists talk about a stimulus package being timely and targeted, they mean, first, that it's got to happen quickly if you're really going to affect the economy, and secondly, that it go to the people who are most likely to spend the money, and that's the low and middle income groups. They're the ones who, if they get a check for $200 or $300, are actually going to go out and put it in a cash register somewhere.
That's CBS's Anthony Mason. Movie and TV directors have a new contract. The Directors Guild of America says it has reached a tentative deal with Hollywood studios, even as the Writers Guild continues to find a new contract elusive. They tell us it's over the same core issue, being rightly paid for new media products, as they put it. Experts say this is what mapping DNA is supposed to do for us. Researchers at Wake Forest University have formed a company that will be able to take your DNA sample and for $300 determine your likelihood of developing prostate cancer. Blood or saliva would do. Aubrey Turner is a genetics counselor at the university.
Genetics has a really unique opportunity to be kind of the ultimate in preventative medicine.
The test might avoid some unnecessary surgical tests and would tell some men to keep a very close watch. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says people coming into the United States, whether citizens or visitors, can expect longer lines to get through customs once the new border rules go into effect at the end of this month. Visas and positive ID for visitors and proof of citizenship. Passports, for example, not just a driver's license for American citizens. A judge in Nevada has ruled today the special deal for casino workers in the Saturday caucuses can go forward. In short, they will be able to vote just down the hall in the casino. Bill Clinton says, yes, the teachers were right to challenge that.
What happened is nobody understood what had happened. They uncovered it, and now everybody's saying, oh, they don't want us to vote. What they really tried to do was to set up a deal where their votes counted five times, maybe even more, as much.
And the former president reminded reporters that this is one man, one vote country. But it is a caucus situation, not a primary in Nevada, and the judge has ruled it legal. The Casino Workers Union has endorsed Barack Obama. The teachers have ties to Hillary Clinton. This is CBS News.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Didn't get what you wanted for the holidays? Pick out something special at Advance Auto Parts with buy one, get one free offers like Advance Auto Parts detailing wipes. Mix or match from glass, leather, cleaning, or protected. Buy one, get one free. Save $3.68. Or Advance Auto Parts Total Grip Oil Filters. Buy one, get one free. Save $2.88. Even Champion Complete Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free. Save $6.44. We're working harder to make our stores better than the rest.
Ready in advance.
Hurry, sale ends January 27th. See store for details.
Once you win a calf in a poker game, what you going to do with it in town? in New Jersey.
Turns out it's against the law in Ewing Township, New Jersey, to keep a cow in your garage.
We had a good time with it. All the kids enjoyed it. Everybody took pictures on their cell phones, you know.
Janine DeKoff says she won the little calf in a card game.
It was small. I mean, he was cool. He was okay. We could handle it. But, I mean, you know, apparently the thing was going to get huge, and we knew we couldn't keep it. I mean...
Authorities agree, forcing her to farm out Mookie, whom she misses dearly.
This morning I was out there putzing around like, oh, man, where's the cow? And I think the dog misses her, too.
Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Checks started arriving in the mail more than 5 years ago. Anthony Armatis of Palatine, Illinois, got automatic payments to his bank from a New Jersey telecommunications company that he had not ever worked for Avaya, Inc., and had no reason to expect a total of $469,000 in pay is something he failed to mention, according to the police, who've charged him for taking what wasn't his. CBS News.
Hi. I'm David Orrick, maker of the 8-pound Orrick XL. You know, there are millions of my amazingly light, incredibly powerful uprights used in the world's finest hotels, airports, offices, and homes. Now, you can try my legendary hotel vac in your home absolutely risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. Hey, all you have to lose is the hidden dirt your present vacuum leaves behind. Call 1-800-989-4200.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity. As a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Don your helmets, fasten your seat belts. It's going to be a wild ride today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I can't take it no more.
Take it no more. On our program today, we'll get an update from Washington from Faz Shakir. That starts in just a moment. Later this hour, an attorney with the National Resources Defense Council is going to talk about the Navy's use of sonar off the West Coast, its impact on whales and other critters, and President Bush's override. And, yes, there is racism in America today, some of it projected by a loudmouth named Rush Limbaugh. We've got a clip from Rusty that we'll play for you later this hour, where he uses the term spade and hoe, garden tools, right, to refer to Democrats running for president, and it won't take you too much trouble to figure out who he's talking about. Also on today's show, Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He got some kudos when we were live in Sacramento the other day and had a live audience there at the screening of Uncounted. Scott has a lot to talk about today, and we'll include our discussion of the Saudi arms deal that George Bandar Bush awarded the Saudis while he was on his democracy tour of the Middle East. He hit all the democratic hotspots, Kuwait, the Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and the final stop in Egypt. Anyway, we'll talk about that and much more with Scott Dick next hour. And lots more on the program, too, including our free speed zone in the third and final hour. You're welcome to call now or then. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8255. 8372. That's our toll-free number. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Faz Shakir is the Director of Research at the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which comes to my email. You can log on to progressreport.org and get that set up for yourself. Faz, how are you today?
I'm fine this week, Peter. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Looking forward to visiting Washington next week. We'll be out for the Families USA Healthcare Conference.
Oh, good for you. So, okay, good to see you down here. Are you going to be doing the show from here?
I won't be in your studio. We'll be live from the historic Mayflower Hotel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So come on over and I'll buy you a drink.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, Faz, give me a little scene setter. What is the tone in Washington this week? As Congress returns, the president, as I mentioned, is on his charm and democracy tour, just flying back today from the Middle East. And the tenor appears to be kind of avoidance of the issues of the war in Iraq and a focus on domestic issues, particularly economic issues. And the Democrats seem to be in competition to see who can come up with the biggest stimulus package.
Well, it sounds like you don't even need to be in Washington to get the tone of what's going on in Washington, because I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
That seems to be what's going on. I, you know, you're right in that there hasn't been much talk about Iraq. There's a few hearings going on the Hill. Today there's one on whether the Iraqi security forces are up to the job or not. But, yeah, for the most part, everything in Washington is about the stimulus package and how are we going to help America that's heading towards a recession and help middle-class families. But if you listen to Republicans, of course, they're not talking about middle-class families. They're talking about making permanent Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. So that is the debate that I think you're going to hear about until we find a resolution on this.
Mm-hmm. And Bush is entertaining Pelosi and Reid at the White House tomorrow to discuss this, right?
Yes, and publicly both Speaker Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are making overtures as if they are ready to compromise and work together with President Bush. And I think they're trying to show this bipartisan unity on the on an issue that they think is vital to getting a quick solution to. So I think those are the public words, but I'm hoping that at least behind the scenes we're going to stand strong for the vision, the progressive vision of how to actually jumpstart the economy, which is you put money into the pockets of those people who actually need it and who will actually spend it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for example, we could really make the first crack at creating new green-collar jobs as part of an effort to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and address global warming. And it doesn't have to be, you know, modeled after the workfare programs of the New Deal back in the Roosevelt era, but we could come up with some sort of a package where we try to help people who are losing jobs or threatened with losing their homes at this time by doing the jump start on what I think we need to build, which is a new economy based on lowered consumption and more efficiency in our use of fossil fuels and others.
You know, I like that. I like the idea, and quite honestly, not a whole lot of people are including that in their stimulus packages. A lot of it is focused on ending the housing crisis and giving energy assistance for people who are facing high heating costs this winter. But, you know, one person who actually does have that in is Senator Clinton. And her stimulus package, she has $5 billion for increasing energy efficiency and alternative growth, like investments in the green-collar job growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's in there. And I don't think that Senator Obama or Senator Edwards has that. And I'm not sure exactly what the House or the Senate is going to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly like it. I think it's making an investment into something that will hopefully return in the near future here.
Now, in addressing the subprime mortgage problems and the risk of foreclosure that many families are facing, do you think Bush has any interest in dealing with those issues? Isn't he going to say, hey, I fixed that back in December with my press release about, you know, not, you know, actually holding the teaser rates for, you know, a longer period of time? But he seems so bent on protecting the banking industry that it's hard to believe that he would do anything that would really benefit the people who are at risk of losing their homes.
Yeah, I remember you and I were actually talking about his gimmicky subprime solution, and that it didn't cover people who actually needed it, and there were all these kinds of loopholes that people were going to fall through the cracks on. And so I think that that's certainly in need of a remedy, that and I think that hopefully he's going to be amenable to that. It's hard to say. I think it will be this discussion tomorrow between Pelosi and Reid and himself is going to help determine the way forward. But early reports out of the White House, by the way, and President Bush has said this to the press, that he's looking to do tax rebates. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. And he wants it to be targeted, in his words, to middle-class families. But he's not talking about investments and spending on the spending side that you and I would like to see on the energy and on the subprime issue.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm concerned, Faz. I like the idea of post-partisanship and putting aside the wars of the past. But I just don't have any confidence that you can approach this administration in that manner and even come away with your own frickin' wallet.
And the other thing is, I don't know if you want to be tying yourself to President Bush. You're talking about a president who right now is mired in very low approval ratings, who's got a weak political standing. His approval on the economy is tanking every day. I mean, he's down 3 or 4 points, depending on which poll you look at, from last month on his approval of the economy. So he's certainly going in one direction, and that's down. And I don't know if we want to be the ones who are saying, okay, we're going to work with somebody who's got the wrong approach to dealing with the economy. I think we should be making sure we're articulating the meshes that we want to see, and then and hopefully when the solution comes, it will have been interpreted as President Bush moving in the progressive direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faz, lead story in the Progress Report today is about the House passing a revised version of the defense policy bill that the president surprised us with a pocket veto right after Christmas. And did the House pass this, 100% identical to the December bill, with the exception of fixing that issue that Iraq had complained about, that it might make them vulnerable to claims from victims of terrorism?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what it was. It was just this one issue where the Iraqi government felt like they were going to be subject to all these lawsuits from people who were tortured under the Saddam Hussein regime, and that they were going to have to be paying out all this money. And they complained to the President Bush, and President Bush sided with them and told Congress that they need to fix it, and issued this false pocket veto, or something that he has absolutely no authority to do, but he did it. And so Congress went back now this week, changed the legislation, gave it back to him, and it looks like it's going to go through.
And the 3.5% pay raise, he only wanted 3%, but the House insisted on the extra half a point. That's intact?
That's right. That's in there. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay. And the Democrats felt they couldn't gain anything by attaching restrictions or timelines or policy changes in Iraq to this bill, given that the president had vetoed it, but he badly needs it?
No, the political standing I think that the Democrats feel like they have in Iraq is while I think the publicly in their rhetoric they're standing strong, I think they've lost the desire to fight on the timeline legislation anymore. I'm not even confident whether you're going to see that come up all that often in 2008. Remember, in 2007 we saw it come up very frequently,
mm-hmm.
and we were caving a lot.
Yeah.
We got it through in the Senate one time, got it through in the House a couple of times, but it didn't really get anywhere. And so I think that we've lost a lot of momentum on that.
And do you sense that there is a strategy in the Democratic leadership related to Iraq?
Yeah, the Politico had a story out today, and you have to qualify it with it being the Politico, but they said the anti-war groups are now lining up behind a strategy that would say that they are going to urge the Congress to say that there should be no long-term deal with the Iraqis. That is, there shouldn't be a permanent presence going on for decades, as we've heard about that President Bush, remember, we talked about this, President Bush had signed this agreement with the Iraqis to
mm-hmm.
have a decades-long presence.
Right, it's a status of forces agreement.
That's right. And,
mm-hmm.
and in addition to that, we've heard John McCain saying that we could be there for 100 years. So this is now where the discussion is heading, is what is our long-term vision for Iraq, and where I think you're going to see a big debate play out in the 2008 election is on this issue, is
mm-hmm.
what is our long-term vision, because the Democrats are all consolidated in one corner with getting out in a year, no permanent bases, and scaling it down by the end of their presidency, whereas Republicans seem content for it to go on for decades.
Well, and Bush is now concerned about his legacy, so he wants to lock in the tax cuts and lock in the occupation of Iraq, his two greatest achievements. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. You got a comment? We'll take it. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Listen, we've never been stay the course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. And I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down.
It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. Faz Shakir is with us from the Center for American Progress in Washington. He's the research director there. And Don in Eureka has an interesting comment. Welcome, Don. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I was just wondering, is anybody following Karl Rove around to see if he might be involved with swift boating John McCain in South Carolina?
Well, I'm not following him around, and I'm sure Faz...
Well, we can get people to follow Britney Spears around. Why couldn't we get one guy to kind of pay attention to what Karl Rove is doing right now?
Faz, what do you know about this? We have seen reports of some really ugly campaign tactics, push-pull phone calls, nasty and inaccurate statements that are being made in flyers and on posters being paraded around by activists.
and it really is getting very ugly.
Yeah, and it's right primarily Vietnam veterans who are out there saying that John McCain wasn't a war hero. And so they're trying to attack him at his strength, which is, of course, the playbook that was used in 2004. The ironic thing is that a lot of the Swift Boat people are denouncing it. So I don't know if Karl Rove has got his fingers in this one or not, although he's been out there, and, you know, he gave this big speech yesterday at this Republican convention, and we were tracking it. And one of the ironic things that we noted is he condemned both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton specifically because she won't release documents. And, of course, he is now under indictment. Well, I guess he's now in contempt from the United States Senate, because he won't release documents about the U.S. attorney. So it was a bit of hypocrisy from him. Also, another interesting thing from his speech yesterday, where he lit into the Democratic candidates, he did not mention President Bush's name a single time.
Mm-hmm. He also gave an impassioned defense of his pro-life position before a presumably religious crowd there in South Carolina. And Faz and Don, what I'm hearing, and I don't have time to listen to Rush Limbaugh nor the inclination, but a columnist here on the West Coast today reported that Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham, and Hugh Hewitt, three arguably leading conservative voices in talk radio, have been hammering McCain and urging Republican voters to abandon him as too old and not conservative enough. And that flies in the face of an op-ed in today's New York Times, which goes to great pains to point out just how conservative John McCain really is and that he doesn't deserve his maverick or moderate labels, which are often applied to him by the corporate media.
Well, he's a weird cat in many ways because, like, on national security issues, he is dead hardline conservative. On Iraq, on Iran, he's as warmonger as they get. But then there's a few issues where he cuts a little bit. Torture is one. He actually spoke against the Confederate flag yesterday. Earmark reform. So some of that accountability, government accountability stuff, he's been pretty good on. So he cuts a little bit both ways. But we should be, hiding from the fact that he's going to carry on the Bush agenda. But he's always alienated this. The movement conservatives, if you will. I mean, mm-hmm. Jonah Goldberg's now got this ridiculous new book on liberal fascism. He hates McCain. You know, all these people who really feel like they have galvanized a movement, they are the ones who really don't like McCain because McCain will not say the things that they want him to say or lead a revolution in their mind. And mm-hmm. so I think a lot of them want Thompson or even Romney.
Yeah. Faz, I can tell you or one of your colleagues were watching Hardball last night like I did, and I was surprised to see Trent Lott come on there, the former senator from Mississippi, along with John Breaux. He claimed to be a Democrat when he represented Louisiana in the Senate, and the two have formed a lobbying group. And Chris Matthews couldn't manage to play Hardball with these guys. The point you raise in the progress report is right on target, because
yep.
Trent Lott said he was leaving the Senate and that he didn't have anything planned or lined up. And,
yeah, well,
and he reported. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been on this issue for a while. Nobody seems to really be caring about it as much as we do. And this was the issue, of course, revolving around the Senate ethics of Trent Lott and whether he was leaving in order to lobby. And he wasn't supposed to be having discussions with lobbyists while he was in the Senate and negotiating a job. So when he was still in the Senate, he was saying, no, I don't have any negotiations. I don't have anything lined up. And now that he's out, he said, oh, yeah, I had been talking to my buddy John Breaux for years, and we were talking about when was a good time to do this, and we thought now was a good time to do it. So he's clearly saying that he had violated ethics rules while he was in the Senate, and I don't know if they're going to do anything about it or not.
Well, and your resourceful investigation showed that his son logged on to get the rights to the domain name brolot.com 6 weeks before
weeks.
Trent decided to leave the Senate because, oh, he can only eat at McDonald's now.
That's right. I mean, I think one of the things that the Senate could do, by the way, is restrict the lobbying registration of Bro Lott Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Bro Lott wants to lobby on the Hill, maybe the Senate should say, all right, we're not going to give you permits to lobby here.
Faz, always great to talk to you. Next week we'll do it again.
Thanks, Peter.
Faz Shakir, Center for American Progress.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by CSX, How Tomorrow Moves. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The laws of economics are not like the laws of Congress or the laws of the church. You don't go to jail or to hell for breaking them. Economic laws are principles derived from experience, like price being a function of supply and demand. There are other factors, too, that enter into that equation, sometimes because they affect either supply or demand. But sometimes for unexpected and apparently illogical reasons. Now, you might expect the taste of a wine to affect its price because the more people like it, there's more demand for it, and you can charge more for it. But a recent study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences finds an unexpected phenomenon, that the part of the brain responsible for pleasure is more significantly active when a person knows that it's more expensive. In other words, not only does the taste affect the price, but a higher price affects the taste in a positive way. More on that after this. Lately, there's been a lot of new proposals to help our environment, but there's something that may have been overlooked. CSX freight trains. Trains are the most fuel-efficient way to transport goods by land. They can move 1 ton of freight 423 miles on a single gallon of fuel, reducing harmful emissions and improving our air quality. Go to CSX.com to learn more about their commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Are you looking for a great deal on a new printer because yours prints too slowly? Then come into Office Depot through January 19th and get an HP black and white laser printer for only $99.99 after $80 instant savings. Plus, now through January 26th, get 10% back in rewards on all printers when you use your WorkLife rewards card. Office Depot, taking care of business. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
The study showing that our taste buds react more positively to wine that we know is high-priced was done at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business and the California Institute of Technology. What do they know about wine? It doesn't matter. They do know when they had 20 adult test subjects sample the same wine at different prices. These people reported experiencing pleasure at significantly greater levels when they were told that the wine cost more. And indeed, the brainwave activity, which was also measured, showed greater activity when the price was known to be higher. So it is not just your nose and your taste buds that are involved. It's your brain. And your brain fools you into thinking it tastes better because it costs more. According to the study, if an experience is pleasurable, the brain will use it to help make future choices. The unfortunate thing is that this message will not be lost on those marketing wine, and they'll think twice before reducing the price. The lower the price, the more you'll buy? It doesn't work that way. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hang on, we're going into the curve. 33 minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. A little bit later this half hour, we've got a powerful racist commentary clip from the big mouth, Rush Limbaugh, we'll share with you. And next hour, Scott Dick with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues. We got a laundry list of things to talk about, including the new Saudi arms deal that President Bush announced while he was visiting his, they're not really in-laws, but gosh, they're really close, the royal family there in Saudi Arabia and the Bush dynasty. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. Right now, we're going to talk with Kara Horowitz, an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council. She attended Yale, got her law degree from UCLA, and she clerked on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals here in San Francisco, which becomes important as we weigh into the story about a White House exemption for the Navy regarding the use of sonar along the West Coast. Kara, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And this has taken an interesting twist, but give us a little background, because NRDC and other environmental groups have been advocating for marine life and against the use of these very intense sonar devices by the Navy, particularly, you know, in maneuvers. These are not, you know, wartime situations. These are situations where the Navy chooses where they do their maneuvers and practice, and they could do it somewhere else, but they choose to do it in particular off the coast of San Diego. So what's the history of these issues and your efforts to protect the marine life?
Thanks, Peter. You're right. So we've been working with the Navy and trying to convince the Navy for many years to change the way that it trains with a technology called active sonar. The Navy uses active sonar in order to hunt and detect submarines. And active sonar works by broadcasting just incredibly loud sounds into the ocean. The Navy then detects the echoes off of potential submarines in order to detect those submarines. So it works by bombarding vast areas of the ocean with incredibly loud sounds. The Navy uses this all over the world, but trains with it very, very intensively off the coast of California because, as you said, they have some major naval bases off of San Diego. And so is training with this technology in some of the richest marine areas in the world, off of Southern California in and around the Channel Islands, areas where there are gray whales and endangered blue whales and humpback whales. Marine mammals in particular are very acoustic species and are incredibly sensitive to sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so scientists have seen over many years just a series of really debilitating effects on marine mammals from the use of active sonar. So we have, on the one hand, you know, intensive training off of Southern California, a really rich set of marine life and often endangered species being affected, and scientists who take a look at this connection and say, you know, this is really a problem for this marine life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've asked that the Navy undertake a series of steps when it trains with sonar in order to protect marine life. You know, nobody's asking that they not train, but when they plan these exercises, often months or years in advance, that they choose to undertake them in areas, for example, where there are fewer very sensitive species, and they take other steps, such as shutting off their sonar during the training exercise if they see whales close to the ships.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things we've asked for. The Navy's refused, and so about, I don't know, 2 years ago, we took the Navy to court, making these same claims, saying that the Navy was violating some federal environmental protection laws. And about 6 months ago, we started singling out some exercises off of the coast of Southern California for an intensive challenge in the courts, and that's what's ongoing now.
And so, Kara, is it your position that the Navy could schedule these maneuvers and trials at times when the known migration of these whales in particular would have them at the low point of the year in their population in that area?
Yeah, there's no dispute that the Navy can conduct its training while minimizing harm to marine life by doing things just like the thing you suggest. They could, for example, schedule their training outside the peak migration periods or in areas where there are just fewer, there are known to be fewer, for example, blue whales, which are highly endangered. And by taking a series of steps to avoid, you know, geographic areas that are very sensitive, et cetera, they can minimize harm to marine life while they train. And this is, you know, this isn't just crazy environmentalists who say this, but this is a claim we've made to the district court here in Los Angeles, and the district court agrees with us. The district court has taken a look at the measures that the Navy undertakes when it trains to protect marine life and has called those measures, quote, woefully inadequate and ineffectual, and grossly inadequate to protect marine mammals from debilitating levels of sonar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the court agrees with us that the Navy is clearly not doing enough to protect marine life. Nevertheless, the Bush administration in the last couple of days has weighed in on this debate. Now that we've, you know, convinced the federal court that we're right, the Bush administration has executed an end run around the courts and around environmental protections by issuing a couple of purported waivers to the Navy to allow them to go forward with these exercises as planned.
Now, you, as an attorney, you carefully use the term purported. What is the legal basis on which the Bush administration is acting here?
So the Bush administration has directed an administrative agency called the Council on Environmental Quality to issue a waiver under the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, that is intended to provide sort of an escape hatch from NEPA's requirements in emergency situations. And the emergency situations contemplated by the regulation include things like, you know, what if a nuclear power plant were to, you know, to melt down or something? We would have to go in and take emergency measures in order to reduce the impacts of that emergency, and we wouldn't have time to comply with NEPA in that circumstance. That's the regulation that the Bush administration is trying to apply here to a routine naval training exercise that's been planned for a year and that there's no reason the Navy could not have complied with NEPA during.
So do you question the validity of this White House process?
We do, and we're in district court now writing up and filing papers questioning the validity of the waiver. It's certainly our position that the waiver is illegal and doesn't provide any justification for lifting the injunction that the district court has issued here. The district court in early January told the Navy that it couldn't go forward with its series of exercises without taking additional steps to protect marine life. And we believe that that injunction remains valid, that the Navy can and must train in ways that protect its marine life.
So the White House issued its alleged waivers on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, in what we view as a separate action, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit here in San Francisco sent the case back to the district court, and the injunction then is still in effect. Is that correct?
That's right. The injunction remains in effect. The Navy went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the appellate court, and asked that the appellate court lift the injunction on the basis of the two waivers. The appellate court sent the whole matter back to the trial court, and the trial court is considering the matter now.
I see. Okay. And having clerked in the Ninth Circuit, what is your speculation about how they handled this and why they sent it back to the lower court instead of affirming the injunction and making the decision at the appeals court level?
Well, the Navy had gone to the appeals court without ever having asked the district court what it thought first. The district court had never had a chance to take a look at these waivers. The district court is considered the expert on mitigation. The judge in the district court, for example, had toured a Navy ship in December, has taken a very careful look at all of the declarations and other evidence in this case, and is really the best person to make the first determination about the effect of these waivers, if any, on the injunction that she issued. So the Ninth Circuit, I think, rightly decided to give her the first shot at assessing the effect of the waivers on the case.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And Kara Horowitz from NRDC, where do you see this going next? Is this going to shape up into another test of presidential authority, which has been, as we know, heavily expanded by this administration?
Yeah, this is a classic showdown in some ways between the executive branch, you know, the president, and the courts and Congress. The courts and Congress have made very clear throughout this case and really throughout the history of our country that the military is not above the law. It's very important for the military to train, but it can train in ways that that protect our environment and in ways that comply with federal law. And the courts have repeatedly held in these sonar cases that that's what the Navy has to do.
Mm-hmm.
It has to comply with the law. President Bush has made the disappointing but not very surprising move of trying to exempt the Navy here from these laws. And so, you know, it's a classic conflict, and I see this being decided by at least two levels of the courts.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And I don't know that this is the exact same sonar system, but about 1989, the Navy, I believe, was rolling out a new sonar device or sonar system. and some ships came in under the Golden Gate into San Francisco Bay. And inexplicably, garage doors started opening all over the Bay Area, even in locations 30 or 40 miles away from the ships that emitted the signals.
That's incredible. I didn't know that story. It may very well be a low-frequency sonar system that we've challenged in a separate case.
Uh-huh. Very good. Kara, anything you'd like to add here?
No, just I want to urge your listeners to vote the right way in November.
Okay.
and I want people to know what the Bush administration has done in this case, because really the only disincentive that this administration has to take these kinds of backhanded actions is public outrage.
Yeah, very
so
good.
People should be outraged.
Kara, thank you very much, and I appreciate your work on behalf of the whales.
Thanks so much.
And here are some whales to say thank you as well. That's Kara Horowitz, an attorney with NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council. And it's surprising that whales have made the news 2 days in a row. Yesterday, of course, we talked about the showdown in Antarctica between an Australian activist group, the Sea Shepherd, and a Japanese whaling ship that is, in their view, violating treaties between Australia and Japan. And as far as we know, the two sailors from the activist group who went aboard the Japanese ship are still being held there. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. We're going to take a break in a moment. And before we do, I'd like you to just listen to this clip. You know who it is. And I just want to get your reaction to this.
Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, have you noticed? It's Obama versus the Clintons. Two against one. Obama campaigning against both of the Clintons. I wonder how well Mrs. Clinton would hold up if the shoe was on the other foot. That is, if she had to run against an ex-president and a senator. I think she'd cry and complain about the unfairness. For all of her BS about being a victim and piling on, Obama is holding his own against both of them, doing more than his share of the spade work. Maybe even gaining ground at the moment, using not only the spade, ladies and gentlemen, but when he finishes with the spade in the garden of corruption planted by the Clintons, he turns to the hoe. And so the spade work and his expertise using a hoe. He's faring well.
Now, I'm sure Mr. Limbaugh thinks that that is really clever. And he probably thinks it's subtle, because of the way he repeatedly overpronounced the word spade. But this is really outrageous. And of course, because Rush has big ratings and makes a lot of money for radio stations all over the country, he's not going to get treated like Don Imus. No, they'll close ranks and say, you know, Rush, he's just such a funny guy. He's such a funny guy. You just got to get in on the joke. Well, this is so obvious and so ugly. And to try to use the term spade and pretend that he's talking about tilling the garden, and then, of course, linking the word hoe to it. I don't know who finds this funny. Perhaps the ditto heads are just, you know, so used to it that it strikes them as humorous. But this is ugly. And this, of course, is what is passed off as the response to the liberal media. Yeah, Rush and Fox News, they're always under attack by the liberal media. But this really crosses a line. And I think it's going to be interesting over the next few days to see if he gets the Imus treatment. In the meantime, tell me what you think. Lines are open for you at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And it's not even original. A few years back, A couple of wacky DJs from Los Angeles, Mark and Brian, they got in trouble for a promotion campaign they had where they gave away black hoes. And they were garden implements. And they just thought that was so funny. We'll continue in a moment and take some of your phone calls live right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
This week on Rock Roll and Real Estate, our very good friend Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy, will be sharing his thoughts and vision for real estate in 2008 with a couple of very hot real estate opportunities. Also, check out our very own Jenny Green and the Green Opinion with their commentary on the world of green, renewable energy, clean technology, and green real estate. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Roll and Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. Tonight's the night, the Bay Area premiere of the film Uncounted. It's at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland, sponsored by Green 960 Radio, and I hope you'll be there. Filmmaker David Earnhardt, our friend Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. They'll be in the house and responding to questions with their answers after the screening. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight at the Grand Lake in Oakland. And for our Bay Area listeners on Green 960, there is a schedule change that takes effect on Monday. So the Peter B. Collins Show moves to midnight. We will not be broadcast live, but you'll be able to hear the program on a regular basis. And you can also catch our podcasts, which are available through peterbcollins.com or at green960.com. And I just want to caution all of our listeners in other areas, no change to the Peter B. Collins Show except in San Francisco. Don't want anybody to get the wrong impression there. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to comment. Fran from Hercules, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, Peter, I'm appalled that that clip you played from Limbaugh's show, because I certainly wouldn't have listened to it. What he said is I don't know how to take it, really. I'm an African-American grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way he overemphasized fade deliberately, like in your face.
Yeah.
Like I'm Bush, too. You know, I can say whatever I want and do whatever I want, you know, because I got money behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm absolutely appalled.
Yeah.
You know, something should be done about this. You know, I write to the FPC?
No, it's the Federal Communications Commission regulates broadcasting, yeah.
Yeah, I write to them, you know, regularly, talking about him and some of these pundits on television, even.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm glad you played that.
All right.
You know, I needed that.
Thank you, Fran. I appreciate your call. Now to Scott in Arcata. Welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Okay, thanks.
Great show tonight. I'm appalled as well with Rush Limbaugh's statements, but that doesn't surprise me. He's been making these statements for a while. He's always been. But I think he's kind of gone over the line. Maybe he had too many Oxycontin or whatever his problem is.
Oh, he's cleaned up his act. Come on.
Oh.
He's a former drug abuser.
Okay. Well,
he tells us.
Well, maybe he cleaned up that, but he sure didn't clean up his mouth too well.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you let a few guys know, like Jesse Jackson and Charlie Rangel and a few of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once they get a hold of it, there might be other ways they can go after him besides the Federal Communications, right?
There are. I mean, obviously the pressure on MSNBC and the syndicators of the Don Imus show and their advertisers is what led them to pull him off. And, of course, you know, they gave him 6 months, and now he's back on the air.
Yeah, and, I mean, look how the mistake that Don Imus, I mean, he didn't make a total repeat of the same word. I mean, he said it, I believe, just once in context. But Rush Limbaugh just kept making an emphasis about the spade deal.
Right.
And the hoe. I mean, come on, folks. And another thing, the guy had called in about having somebody follow Karl Rove around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would be possible because he probably has a security detail that he has, personal detail that follows him around. And I would suppose that you wouldn't be able to get too close to even get to that guy to follow him around.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Now to Sacramento. I don't have your name here, Line 5. Who's this?
It's Ann. Hey, listen, Peter. You're behind the curve.
Tell me.
Mrs. Clinton gave an interview, and I don't have to have anybody tell me this because the word spade stuck out. I believe it was between the defeat in Iowa and the win in New Hampshire, and I can't quote what she said, but, I mean, I heard the word spade. It stood out like neon. And that was the reason for that silly monologue that Limbaugh did. I mean, he was taking off on, I mean, I've heard after her interview, and I'm visually impaired, so I think it was a television interview, but it
mm-hmm.
was between Iowa and New Hampshire.
Really?
And she was talking about using a spade, and that is very peculiar language, and other people have commented on it since, but it stood out to
mm-hmm.
me when
okay, well, Ann, I appreciate the call.
No need to beat the drums on this one. Limbaugh was making fun of Mrs. Clinton.
Okay, but even if that was the basis for it,
I know,
his
I
piling
know.
On in a tasteless and tactless manner cannot be defended. Thank
right.
you, Ann. I appreciate
Bye.
The context. I always learn from my listeners. This is amazing. Chris in Berkeley, listening on Green 960. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good.
Not to piggyback on that last woman, but it's true. I did hear this morning on another radio show that I guess Mrs. Clinton did make some comment in the interview, and she was talking about the amount of work that Senator Obama has done, and she did say that he did spade work. That was her choice of words, and I thought of all the things to say, and she's a very eloquent speaker. Why on earth she would even allow that to come out of her mouth? I don't think it's what she... You know, I don't think she was meaning to use it in any kind of a derogatory way, but still, of all the things that she could have said, I thought that was kind of an unfortunate choice of words.
Sure was.
But anyway,
Chris, I'm out of time this hour, but thank you for your comment today. I appreciate it. Always good to have people listening here in the Bay Area. We're going to take a break and return. Scott Dick will join us to talk military and veterans affairs in the next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Everything we know know about this election tells us the exit polls are right. And George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the Bay Area premiere of Uncounted tonight, 7 p.m. at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland. It's a huge house. There's room for everybody, so bring your friends. And you can get a DVD at uncountedthemovie.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The head of the Fed sees a glass half full.
We're not forecasting recession, but rather at this point slow growth.
But Wall Street sees a glass turned upside down.
Combination of bad economic data, the reports from Merrill Lynch this morning, and the market just didn't like Chairman Bernanke.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Dow plunged 306 points today, closing at 12,159, even as Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke endorsed an economic stimulus plan and Congress geared up to do just that. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
With politicians rushing to spend a bundle of money to stimulate the economy, the chairman of the Federal Reserve gave his blessing.
I think in order for this to be useful, you would need to act quite quickly.
Ben Bernanke told Congress it's okay to borrow the money as long as it's temporary and gets cash to people who'll spend it. Democrats pressed on that. They want middle-class tax rebates, more food stamps, and extended unemployment benefits.
If you're somebody who lives paycheck to paycheck, you're more likely to spend that extra dollar.
Bernanke said business tax cuts, which Republicans prefer, could help too, and tried to steer clear of the political fight over the details of a package everyone says they want. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol.
President Bush will unveil his ideas after a meeting tomorrow with his top economic advisors to ensure quick action on short-term stimulus. The White House says Mr. Bush will not include his long-standing proposal to make the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts permanent. So, with help on the way, why did the stock market keep going down?
We had Merrill Lynch come out with record losses for the fourth quarter. We had the housing numbers come out, the worst numbers in 27 years for the housing starts. We had the Philadelphia Fed report near recession confidence levels. Then we had Chairman Bernanke, who didn't give the market enough reassurance.
David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's, says Wall Street doesn't agree with Bernanke's assessment that the recession will be avoided. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
There are a lot of economists who believe that we are right on the precipice of a recession, that if we're not in one already, that the odds are 50-50, we could well slide into one. That's not what the Fed says, but at the same time, they're also, you know, by the very fact that they're getting ready to cut rates again, acknowledging the economy is in a spot.
Now this.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What is the Truman Cell? It's the best defense against bad household air on the market today, and only Orrick has it. Can it make a difference in the quality of your life? See for yourself. Try an Oreck Professional Air Purifier risk-free for 60 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get one to you faster than you can say Gesundheit. 1-800-989-4200.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
A California company called Stemagen claims a scientific breakthrough.
We're the first company to document the cloning of a human embryo.
Dr. Samuel Wood says they did it successfully five times. The embryos were destroyed. The ultimate aim is to create a source of stem cells that could be used to repair all parts of the body.
A major goal of regenerative medicine is to develop clinically useful stem cell lines.
Embryonic stem cells are considered the most powerful of all. There's a deal in Hollywood between producers and directors.
The Directors Guild of America announced today that it has concluded a tentative agreement on the terms of a new 3-year collective bargaining agreement with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
Guild spokeswoman Sahar Moradani says there are solid wage increases, no rollbacks, and an agreement to cover new media, the sticking point in the writers' contract dispute. They've been on strike for 2 months now. Today's deal might increase the pressure for a settlement. Terrible accident near Jean, Nevada. A bus carrying employees of Prim Valley Resorts ran off Interstate 15 and burst into flame. There was a frantic rescue effort.
Climbed in the bus, climbed around the bus, broke windows and stuff to get people out.
Kevin Honey of the Nevada Highway Patrol says there were about 40 people on the bus. At least 14 were injured. Some had to be airlifted to hospitals. The bus was gutted by flames. The FBI has opened a preliminary investigation of Houston Astros shortstop Miguel Tejada, who swore up and down that he never used performance-enhancing drugs. The probe prompted by the Mitchell report on steroid use in baseball, in which Tejada figures prominently. Tejada's lawyer says he has no comment. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Didn't get what you wanted for the holidays? Pick out something special at Advance Auto Parts with buy one, get one free offers like Advance Auto Parts detailing wipes. Mix or match from glass, leather, cleaning, or protected. Buy one, get one free. Save $3.68. Or Advance Auto Parts total grip oil filters. Buy one, get one free. Save $2.88. Even Champion complete fuel system cleaner. Buy one, get one free. Save $6.44. We're working harder to make our stores better than the rest.
Ready in advance.
Hurry, sale ends January 27th. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Every week at this time, we spend an hour with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues, and he served in the military, and he is a veteran. Did a stint in the Marine Corps and then retired from the Army at the rank of Major. Your calls and comments, questions, all welcome this hour. All you got to do is pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number. And I have been thinking about our listeners who access the program through podcasts, who listen not during the live broadcast, but, let's say on the weekend on KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. And I have been remiss in offering those listeners an opportunity to win a DVD of this new documentary, Uncounted, about America's stolen elections. And so today I want to make the announcement that if you listen, not live, but on a podcast or in Portland or Missoula, Montana on the weekend, all you got to do is drop me an email. Send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com and put DVD in the subject line so I know what it's about. And from all the people who enter between now and Monday at noon, we will have a drawing Monday at noon, and we'll pick a winner, and we'll send that person a copy of this new DVD. The only restriction is you have to agree to show it to at least 10 people, one at a time, or hold a house party, whatever you like. But we would like to make sure as many people as possible see it. And it occurred to me the other day that those who listen on a time shift don't get the opportunity to call in and win when we give one away. So this is a special offer for people who listen in Portland to our podcasts or any other time of day other than 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, which is when we originate live. Scott Dick joins us now. He's stuck in traffic somewhere in the Monterey Bay area. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter.
Good to talk with you. And you wanted to start off today by pushing back a couple of conservatives, and we are currently looking for the clip of Bill O'Reilly, but I do have a summary of this from thinkprogress.org, and essentially Bill O'Reilly has made the claim that there are not many homeless veterans in America, And he has challenged presidential candidate John Edwards' claim that 200,000 veterans will go to sleep under bridges and on grates because they are homeless.
Well, he had Ed Schultz on the show and basically aimed that barb at both Edwards and Schultz, and he said, you know, they're just not that's just fiction. I'm paraphrasing now. And Schultz said, no, you'd be surprised. And he goes, well, if you find one, you call me personally, and we'll make sure that he doesn't do it, meaning that homeless veteran sleeps on the street. So my goal is to get every person who happens to know a homeless veteran to call Fox directly and have Bill O'Reilly put him up. Because on the Department of Veterans website, they have a section devoted to veteran homelessness, and they're given about 195,000 that they know about, and that's just a number that are chronic. They said there's maybe double that face homelessness sometimes during the year. Notice they didn't say during their lifetime. It said during that year.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 400,000. So, you know, Edwards can be excused for rounding up to 200,000. And O'Reilly, somebody on the right who supports the Bush administration and their cronies and their support the troops and veterans, He doesn't not support the veterans. He just claims that the number doesn't exist.
Right.
If they say it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist.
We found the soundbite, and we want to thank crooksandliars.com. They've got it posted, and let's see if I can get it to play here.
Do you have a candidate? I do not. I like them all on the Democratic side, and I'm in a unique position. I know Hillary. I know Barack. I know John. Those are the top three. I consider them good friends, although
Ed Schultz speaking here.
Of all of them at one time or another.
Now, give the audience an example, the audience who doesn't hear your program. Barack Obama, you've criticized him for?
Well, 3.5 million people do hear my program, and I have been very critical of Barack Obama for being, at times, playing the race card. He's got to watch himself on that. He's got to gain credibility that he can be really the change agent that he's presenting himself. As far as being critical of Hillary Clinton, you know, the very nemesis that the Clintons have complained about over the years, talk radio, is exactly the vehicle that they're not using right now. And if you'll notice, the Clintons started to get a little bit better in the polls when Hillary went out and said, okay, I'm going to start taking questions. What a 180 that was. As far as John Edwards is concerned, I think his message is strong and he's got tremendous conviction, but I think he needs a little bit more material than just the Two America talk. He's got to get
We're still looking for all the veterans sleeping under the bridges, Ed. So if you find anybody, let us know, because that's all the guy said for the last 3 months.
Don't kid yourself.
They may be out there, but there's not many of them out there.
Okay?
So if you know where
one
is, if you know where there's a veteran sleeping under a bridge, you call me immediately, and we will make sure that man does not do it. There's not there.
I will do that.
Okay.
I will do that.
All right, now.
You have my...
So there's an invitation, Peter. For anybody who knows a homeless vet, I got a call yesterday. There are about 2,500 in the Santa Cruz County alone. So, folks, you find somebody who's homeless, you can put them up with Bill O'Reilly at Fox. I'm serious. Get the number and call them.
Well, and if you'd like to call into the program right now and either acknowledge that there is a homeless veteran in your neighborhood, or perhaps you are that homeless veteran, you can call us toll-free. You might need the 50 cents to get the payphone to work, or maybe you can borrow a cell phone. But I invite you to call and debunk Bill O'Reilly's breathtaking claim that there aren't many veterans in America, quote-unquote, sleeping under a bridge. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. And, you know, this reminds me of, Scott, back in the Reagan administration when homelessness first became a factor, and this was the ascendancy of Rush Limbaugh, who used to have what he called a homeless update, and he would make fun of people living on the streets or in the shadows because he didn't believe it was really a problem. And Ed Meese, who was Reagan's attorney general, made the claim that there aren't many homeless people, it's just anecdotal. And this kind of denial has been going on now for almost 30 years.
Well, that was the first time that Rush Limbaugh really got called on the carpet when he said there are more homeless in Germany than there are on the streets of exactly how you put it, one major city in the United States. And, of course, that's totally false. The social safety net in Germany is far superior to anything the United States even comes close to. They do have homeless, but those are people who reject any kind of services from the German state. So
And, of course, when he was pinned to the ground, that's the first time that he uttered those famous words. Well, I'm not a journalist. I'm an entertainer.
Randy in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
How are you, Peter?
I'm fine, thank you. What's your comment, Randy?
Bill O'Reilly. What is he talking about?
Well, I think he's talking about a dream world.
Yeah, he sure is. I wanted to let you know that there are homeless vets. And we have homeless vets who stay at the Lowe's and Fishes.
Uh-huh.
I'll just right off the light rail station here. We know some homeless vets who are living in a house right now that's abandoned because it's gotten cold and the wind came in and it's raining. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you. It also makes it look bad for disability rights. As a disability rights advocate, mm-hmm. they're not going to get the services they needed if they don't get counted, will they?
That's right. Scott, go ahead.
Well, it's just part of that apologize to the Bush administration under the fantastic and wonderful veterans and military
bureaucracies.
Policies, uh-huh. Proposals under the Bush administration. This can't possibly be happening under Bush's watch.
Randy, thank you very much. Now to John in Sacramento, also listening on 1240 KSAC. Go ahead, John.
How you doing? I actually just left active service, and I'm not homeless myself, but I have the family support to come back to, but there's a lot of people out there who just get back to the United States because I was overseas, and if you have nobody, then you're just stuck with the money in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
and you're just going under the bridge, and I see that every single day, and I was just fortunate enough to have my family to let me move back in, and I'm 25, and I feel fortunate, but it's hard to get back in the swing of things and getting a job and or go back to school because I was overseas for 2 years and there's no communication of like trying to get financial aid or even trying to get a job. So
yeah.
It's
Well, John, I certainly wish you the best. Where did you serve?
Okinawa, Japan.
In Okinawa. Okay. Well, good. Well, welcome back, and I'm glad you do have the family structure to support you there, and I hope that it helps you in the transition. Thank you very much. Now to Logan in San Francisco. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Logan.
So I was calling because a couple friends of mine both work for Swords to Plowshares here in the city.
Sure, I know about them.
And they've said that in the past, like themselves, most of their clients have been Vietnam vets. But over the past year, basically every client that's coming in are homeless Iraq veterans that have returned and have no resources and nowhere to go.
Wow.
So. Well, that's how it works. When you take a soldier who is not some kind of disabled, I mean, obviously disabled, that has some kind of VA support, they're really, you know, what are we going to do if you're completely healthy? It's the whole issue of what am I going to do when I grow up, and do I have the money to go to college and pay for rent and do all the things that normal people, and it's only because of family and social network that there aren't more young veterans on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Well, here comes, let's see, line four. It's Prez in Sebastopol. Welcome back to the program today, Prez.
Hey, thank you. I've got a couple of points. Number one, I just spent 3 years at the VA hospital in San Francisco as a nurse in a medical surgical ward. And on my ward, we had anywhere from 18 to 25 people. And I guarantee you, just about every day, four or five of them are homeless veterans. And in San Francisco, be a homeless person, you got to have your you-know-what together. And there was no support for them whatsoever. O'Reilly, of course, is full of you-know-what. And what they're doing also, now I might mention this also, I have a good experience with this. I'm a Vietnam veteran myself. And what happened to me is what's happening. So a lot of these guys now, they will not treat them unless they sign off on a lesser diagnosis. Instead of PTSD, they make them say they have a passive-aggressive personality disorder or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they were screwed up when they came in. You don't get any benefits, or if you do, it's 30%. Here's a small check. Go away and never come back.
That's shocking.
I'm not shocked at all.
Knew. I mean, it's a plus. This Iraq war, I know a lot about this too because I've talked to people about it, and the facility and out of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
This Iraq thing exacerbated all these Vietnam veterans, some of whom had never approached the VA at all since they got back from Vietnam. And
very
now this whole thing exacerbated their PTSD and all the inherent problems with that. These people are coming out of the woodwork now, and if we think we saw something now, just wait.
All right, Press, I got to run to a break, but thank you for your comment. And, Scott, I know you weren't shocked by that. We'll get you to respond in just a moment. Also, after the break, we're going to talk about the New York Times report of a crime wave caused by Iraqi veterans. More in a moment. You can call in 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2008 Honda Civic, a four-door compact. My demo has a 2-liter four-cylinder engine and a 6-speed manual transmission, delivering great acceleration and performance along with pretty good gas mileage. The power-assisted steering is tight, not as much work as the old Hondas. The Civic holds the road well. It's easy to park. Inside, it's roomy for its size, has all the accessories you want, moonroof, nav system, satellite radio, and a pretty good stereo with a plug for your iPod. The trunk is bigger than you'd expect, and with fold-down rear seats, you can carry some stuff. If I thought there's a major flaw in the Civic, I would have told you right here. By the numbers, the 2008 Honda Civic gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and sells in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
And let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA. It's Thursday, one day away from Friday. Yeah, I know you folks knew that. All right, we're going to start off with a problem in San Jose. It's a pretty significant situation. San Jose, 1st Street between San Fernando and Santa Clara Street, closed while crews assess a fire damage to a building. VTA is running buses instead of light rail between the Children's Discovery Museum and the Civic Center. Japantown, St. James, Santa Clara, San Antonio, and Convention Center stations possibly closed until Friday, 5 p.m. So that's kind of an effect in that area. In Aptos, Soquel Drive at Trout Glunch, Goldshed is. We have a two-car crash. It's on the right shoulder. Also in Aptos, southbound 1 at State Park Drive, there's a two-car crash. It is blocking the off-ramp. Well, check out Macy's this weekend with the clearance savings. Just keep getting better. Save on fashions and accessories for him and her and for the home. That's traffic on KRXA.
Ooh.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 24 minutes after the hour. We're talking military and veterans issues with our contributor, Scott Dick. And you can call into the program toll-free right now at 888-5-PETER-B. If you are a homeless veteran, we invite you to call anytime this hour. We'll take your call. 888-573-8372. That's our number here at the Peter B. Collins Show. And Jim in San Francisco joins us. He is listening on Green 960. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hi. Wow, this is like a soft lob we can knock out of the park. Because I think what we should do is we should organize homeless gatherings of veterans, homeless veteran gatherings in front of, what affiliate was it, Fox News?
Yes, that would be the Fox News channel.
Okay, so in front of the local Fox channel, have a feeding for homeless vets and get a visual of this. Because people don't respect it, don't understand it. We need to make it very clear to folks. They have thrown out the challenge. We respond by organizing and letting them know and see it. I think we should do this nationwide, coordinated, working through Vets for Peace, through Vietnam Vets Against the War, Iraqi Veterans Against the War, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great idea, and one of the problems is that the Fox News Channel doesn't really have local stations. It's a national...
Oh, yeah, they do.
No. You're thinking, like in the Bay Area, Channel 2 is a Fox affiliate,
but
that's the Fox Entertainment Channel, and that's not the same channel that Bill O'Reilly is part of, okay? So
okay.
Bill O'Reilly originates from New York. I think it's Avenue of the Americas and 57th, somewhere around there.
Well, we all can't go to New York, so how do we do it on the local level?
Well, I think we could stage something. You know, Bill O'Reilly loves San Francisco. He loves to bash it. And so, you know, possibly we could set up an event similar to what you described, but put it in a public place like the Ferry Plaza or Union Square or someplace like that. And try to attract media attention that way. I like your idea. I think that it could be a very effective way of demonstrating just how ill-informed and crazy Bill O'Reilly is.
Yeah, and I think since he made the call on a national network, I think we should get it going in several cities. I think as many as we can.
All right, great. Jim, thank you very much. I think that's a great idea. Appreciate that call. 888-5-PETER-B if you would like to join in. And Scott Dick is back with us now. And, Scott, I wanted to tag on to the discussion of homeless vets with the challenges that many returning Iraq combat veterans are facing. And Sunday's New York Times had a lengthy article. It started off with a profile of a 20-year-old combat veteran from Iraq named Matthew Seppi. And he's suffering from PTSD. And he medicates himself with beer. And he went out to the 7-Eleven, and he lives in a really troubled or seedy area of Las Vegas. And he went out late at night to get himself some malt liquor because he can't sleep without it. And he says that he hasn't been able to get proper care from the Veterans Administration. So he decided to take his AK-47 to the 7-Eleven to, and by the way, he had to pay a stranger to buy him the two tall boys because he's not 21. And then on his way back with the beer cargo, two gang members approached him, and he shot them dead with his AK-47. When the cops came, he said, "Who did I take fire from?" And then he said that he had been ambushed, and he instinctively engaged the targets. He shook. He cried. And the detective said, "I felt very bad for him." Well, this is just one example of somebody who is under a great deal of stress, not getting appropriate care, and then put into a situation like that, he responded the way he was trained to.
Absolutely. I there's a whole group of people that would say, oh, PTSD and being a veteran of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan is no excuse for unlawful or illegal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get that out of the way right now.
I'll tell you what, Scott, we're up against a break here, so hang on and we'll pick up there after the break.
Okay.
And we'll take more calls, too. If you'd like to check in, our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. Still taking calls from homeless veterans or people who know about that issue. Feel free to check in with us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. And visit our website at peterbcollins.com where you can catch the live stream.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The state of the economy is softening. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The White House says the economy is softening, which makes it sound kind of cuddly. But no, softening is a bad thing. And as far as I can tell, what we'll be doing to toughen the economy back up is basically to print money and hand it to banks. This, you may note, is not exactly in keeping with the rugged individualism that dominates the radio talkosphere. The rugged individualists say you have to let the free market fix things. You deregulate banks, you lend money to people who don't have down payments, you have them sign loans that may actually get them deeper into debt with each payment, and it'll stimulate sales of everything from drywall to HDTVs, a trickle-down effect that helps everyone. Except the only thing trickling down just now is bankruptcy. The trouble for rugged individualists is that when a lot of people sign loans they can't pay for, it isn't just the little people that get hurt, it's the big banks. And when the big banks get hurt, they can no longer lend money to the rugged individualists, leaving them decidedly less rugged. And perhaps less likely to donate to political campaigns, which is why both parties are talking about bailouts. Some economists think that more regulation should go along with any bailout to stop these problems before they start. But if there's one thing a rugged individualist doesn't want, it's more regulation. Just because a rugged individualist gets a government bailout doesn't change the fact that he's rugged and wants nothing to do with government. Kind of like the way your kids behave when they ask for money. By the way, are there any rugged individualists out there who wish that their Social Security check was tied to the stock market? Just checking. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee. And if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, ThinkerToys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, ThinkerToys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the PBC show. Scott Dick is with us this entire hour, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And if you're a homeless vet or you know one, and you want to challenge the assertion of Bill O'Reilly that there aren't many, certainly not 200,000, he says, Call in this hour, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Scott, I got to let you catch up a little bit here because I promised to let you respond. I said I was shocked by the statement made by a caller a little bit earlier about the way returning veterans and Vietnam vets have been treated. And you wanted to comment on that, and also I had to cut you off before the last break, so go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that's typical. It's so normal that the U.S. government, and it really doesn't matter which administration does it, once an active duty soldier has left active duty, no matter their condition, there's not much the government wants to do with them. They sort of just wash their hands, they ship them off to the Veterans Administration and say, okay, it's now your problem, it's no longer our problem. And the Veterans Administration has been for decades a dumping ground for the useless and the worthless, mm-hmm. as far as bureaucrats, administrators, doctors. I mean, Peter, I think you're old enough to remember the scandals in the 70s and the 80s, and I think even in the early 90s, about doctors who had been de-licensed in other states were finding jobs in homes in the Veterans Administration.
Right, yeah.
And so this is completely normal, but this is a time when this administration has been so much support to troops. What they haven't said is, oh, by the way, if you should be so unlucky as to be hurt in any way and have to leave active duty, well, you're pretty much on your own because we don't believe in taking care of you unless you're wealthy. So compassionate conservatism only applies to people that have money.
Mm-hmm. And, Scott, I had tied this to the New York Times Sunday article, January 13. It's headlined, Across America, Deadly Echoes of Foreign Battles. And I took a moment to tell the story of Matthew Seppi, who took his AK-47 over to the 7-Eleven to buy some beer to calm his nerves from PTSD so he could sleep. And in that trip, he was encountered by a couple of gang members, and he blew them away. And this can be a self-defense case. I'm not going to try to judge it from here. But it's just the lead anecdote that they used in a report that showed a broad pattern of violence among returning vets, domestic violence, high divorce rates. We've talked in the past about the high suicide rates. And these are all linked to the same issues that produce veterans' homelessness.
Right. And when you have veterans who are trapped in limbo, and you've heard that term many times from veterans and wounded who are stuck in the limbo of active duty but are not fit for return to, you know, military-type duties, then this is what happens. They are trying to get out of places, even if they made Walter Reed like the Hyatt Hotel, who wants to sit there for months and months and months at a time? Nobody is taking their case. Nobody has put their records in front of a medical board. They are in a black hole, a bureaucratic black hole. And so after 9 months or a year, and we've seen, this is not an exaggeration, Peter, we've seen this over and over again with people. That was the biggest complaint about the wounded vets at Walter Reed. It wasn't so much about the mold and the really crappy living conditions, is that it was the weight.
Yeah.
And the VA has over 200,000 backlog cases where they're trying to rule on if these guys have, anything more than, 30% or 20%, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see where a kid who is sitting on his butt doing nothing, can't leave, can't go home, is stuck at Walter Reed in a holding company, why they would finally take a pre-existing condition discharge, get their honorable discharge, and get out.
Yeah. Let's talk to Oz in Arcata. Oz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter B. I'm Oz in Arcata.
Uh-huh.
I'm a homeless vet, served in the U.S. Navy aboard the Iwo Jima. I work in Arcata with the Houseless Coalition. I might give a correction to Bill O'Reilly there.
All right, please do.
At least 840,000 people are homeless at any given time. Over a year, 2.5 to 3.5 million are homeless. Of this number, 1.1 million are children, and of that 840,000, a full third are veterans.
Mm-hmm. We got a really noisy line there, Oz, so go ahead and speak up if you could.
Okay. I think the thing that bothers me most about hiding the homeless and criminalizing homeless
Yeah.
Those things are increasing homelessness in the United States violates international law to begin with. And so when we go there down to our cities and our city ordinance and the treatment of homeless in general and of our homeless veterans, it's just a crying shame.
Yeah, yeah. Oz, I'd like to talk with you longer, but I'm sorry we got a bad connection.
Okay.
So thank you for the work that you're doing, and thanks for calling the program today. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Peter B.
Now to Karen in Sacramento, listening on 1240 Talk City. Hi, Karen.
I just wanted to give a shout-out that a previous caller had a good idea, and I wanted to mention the Bernie Ward rally is on the 22nd at the Federal Building in San Francisco.
That's right, and I'm going to be there. We're actually going to talk about this more next hour. I want all of our listeners, including if you can come over from Sacramento, Karen, I'd love to see you there. I think Bernie deserves the strongest showing of support that we can muster, and we need to fight this selective prosecution, which I think is political in nature, and I certainly hope that we can turn out a large crowd there next Tuesday.
Great. Thanks a lot. I got it by Googling Bernie Ward rally.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Karen. Jonas in San Francisco, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes. Hi. I'm so happy to hear about you, and I'm listening to you every day. Friend of mine is a homeless veteran.
Yes.
And he used to be in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you believe or not, I help him financially. I give him food, everything. And a very intelligent guy who is very bitter inside, psychologically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a sad part of it that he's very ambitious and nobody cares about them. Hello?
Yeah, I'm just letting you talk, Jonas. Don't worry. We haven't disconnected from you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And may I say that I don't understand these people who is listening, this idiot Bill O'Reilly and fellows. You know, these people should grow up a little bit who listening, these idiots, you know, I can say.
All right,
it's
Jonas.
It's amazing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
so much,
the call.
Thanks so much.
Well, Scott, we've gotten a very strong showing from listeners who refute and testify very clearly that Bill O'Reilly is way, way off base.
I think giving this the toll-free number for Fox News Network would be appropriate so people can call them and express their outrage. This is, you know, it makes it comfortable for the average American who has done nothing, sacrificed nothing, shirks their jury duty for good voting, and it makes it easy for them to just sit back and say, well, there's no, O'Reilly said it, there's no homelessness. It's just it's a figment of the liberal left imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that needs to be pointed out to them. It's outrageous.
Let me take another call on this. It's Steve from Elk Grove, who I met at the Uncounted screening in Sacramento the other night. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I thought maybe I'd get something in that's pertinent to what you guys are talking about. First of all, I'm an honorably discharged Navy vet. And the VA hospital has, I went in there because I was a victim of a criminal assault by a business competitor, had multiple face, skull, jaw, and mouth fractures that could have gotten somebody who was a civilian out on the streets 18 years in state prison for doing it. And the VA took the x-rays, knew I had the broken bones, and then diagnosed me with a psychiatric problem.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I have the original x-rays now, and I have their medical reports, which just cured all the broken bones with the stroke of a senior radiology resident's pen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to look at the x-rays anymore, and they don't want to look at the x-rays. And then since then, I've had my bones broken on many occasions, and it was because of their refusing to treat the bones earlier. Now, actually, as a matter of law, what they did, all the lawyers I've worked with have told me it was a criminal act because the Congress cannot give them immunity from their criminal acts, although they get civil immunity. And I'm an expert in mental health law, so when I get these psychiatric diagnoses, they're off the wall, they're ridiculous. But I'm reminded of how Specialist Town lost his benefits by Joshua Coors in the April 9th issue of The Nation magazine, where it shows that active duty military personnel are using or having psychiatric so-called diagnosis used on them to cover up the fact that they've been seriously injured in combat.
Yeah, that I'm glad you referenced that. That was a powerful article, and Joshua Coors has been on our program several times to talk about it. But it is just another shameful act that is occurring where they are trying to avoid allowing people to be diagnosed with PTSD, and they're trying to drum them out and diminish or eliminate their benefits by claiming that they had some sort of pre-existing condition.
Well, but Peter, it's a cost-saving measure, but more than that, it also boils down to commanders who have these non-deployables on their books, as they say. And if you have a non-deployable on your book, he's still counted against your troop strength. And so you can't get a replacement because it's a numbers game. It's an accounting game.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks bad for their operational readiness reports to say, to have on there, oh, look, you have 10 or 15 non-deployables. And there's a case today in the newspaper where the Army Times is reporting that scores of troops have been deployed to Iraq and then immediately turned around and sent home because of their physical, pre-existing physical condition. It's something called a profile. And it's, for example, if you break your foot, just playing football or whatever, you get a profile from wearing combat boots, from running, from carrying heavy loads, because it needs time to heal. You're certainly not capable of going into combat. Well, they sent a bunch of these soldiers with profiles, which is a completely legitimate medical, you know, doctor says, okay, you're not going to be, you have a stress fracture in your foot. You're not going to be running anytime soon. And that's not serious. Let's say broken bone.
Mm-hmm.
They still sent them to Iraq. And they made it to Kuwait, and they were supposed to be, there was a holding company of 50 of these guys hanging around in Iraq. I guess they're trying to get them well there before they can send them hanging around in Kuwait.
Understood.
Before they can send them into Iraq.
Yeah, they usually get to stay at the Hilton there.
It's more like tent city.
Yeah.
So
all right.
It's just a matter of trying to get them ready, and it's a numbers game. And I'm sure these commanders talk to this one psychiatrist who's the chump at Fort Carson, is the one who diagnosed everything from PTSD to a brain injury as a pre-existing condition.
Let's talk to Guy in Martinez, listening on Green 960. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Peter B. I think, you know, we've dealt with homeless veterans for a long time, but I think this time around the attitude was really expressed by Don Rumsfeld. I think it was in congressional testimony. He referred to these soldiers, these servicemen and women, as being fungible. Now, that's a nice $50 financial term that just basically means that one soldier is just like another. If one goes down, we can replace it with another, and when we use them up, we throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're a commodity, and they're traded on the basis that they're looked at this administration as a commodity, and they're treated like a commodity. And I really believe the way they've done this, conducted the two wars, the two occupations, the two fights, whatever you want to call it, in Afghanistan and Iraq, they just looked at the troop strength as the same as the number of trucks, the number of bullets, the number of gallons of fuel and oil. To them, since they never wore the uniform, it doesn't make any difference. It's all a part of the political, one of their political tools in the toolbox. And and remember, these are compassionate conservatives.
They're compassionate conservatives, and yet the words and actions show that they really don't care about anybody but lining their own pockets.
Right. We haven't found I defy you to show me anywhere that this administration has exhibited compassionate anything. They're not even conservatives. The conservatives have disavowed them.
I'm a uniter, not a divider. Thank you, Guy. I appreciate the call. Scott, stay with us. We'll talk more in a moment. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Our toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Looking at traffic on KRXA, not a whole lot going on, to be honest with you. We're going to mention a big San Jose problem, however. Looks like First Street between San Fernando and Santa Clara closed while crews assess fire damage to a building. Now, for people taking the VTA trains, they're running buses instead of light rail between Children's Discovery Museum and the Civic Center. Japantown, St. James, Santa Clara, San Antonio, and Convention Center stations closed until it looks like tomorrow, 5 p.m. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report. Santa Clara County getting word of a problem there. It's, 152, just west of Bell Station. It's a cow. Moo. walking in the station. I know you're grateful for those sound effects that you just heard. And the support brought to you by Gold Bond Foot Cream. For softer, healthier feet this winter, get Gold Bond Foot Cream with 7 intensive moisturizers plus soothing vitamins that work as hard as your feet. Get Gold Bond Foot Cream. That's traffic on KRXA.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. You can call in toll free 888-5-PETER-B. It's the free speech zone next hour, so we'll continue with lots of your phone calls. You know the rules, any subject, any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Makes it easy for you. Steve in Salinas wants to make a comment. Hello, Steve. You're on the PBC show.
Good afternoon. Something I haven't heard come up yet was, this has been going on for a while, I guess, and this is from the San Jose Mercury News of the Weird just a few days ago. A Pittsburgh radio station reported that soldier Jordan Fox had recently been ordered to return $3,000 of his $10,000 enlistment bonus because his blindness and back injury from a roadside bomb in Iraq prevented him from fulfilling the final 3 months.
And so what's so weird about that, Steve? It's just a straightforward business deal.
He had a contract. You know, he got his bonus, and he can't fulfill his contract, so they should yank it back.
It's the free market at work. What's the problem here?
Exactly.
Well, I guess that's supporting the troops, I guess, in the Bush jargon.
Yeah.
But he's not a troop anymore. He's blind. He's probably been discharged, so he's a vet. So who cares if he's blind and they want his money back? They want their money back. Now, I think they fixed that, though. I mean, you know, we're making fun of the administration and the Veterans Affairs and the Act. There's some bean counter. This is the kind of thing that boils my blood, Peter. There's a bean counter someplace at the Finance Center in Indianapolis that said, here's a guy who's no longer in active duty, and he got a bonus. We need to get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start the proceedings. They send him a letter. And, oh, by the way, nobody bothered to pick up the phone and call him and say, why haven't you fulfilled your, well, because I'm blind. And I got the Purple Heart. Oh, never mind. Buzz click.
Says U.S. Representative Jason Altmiri of Pennsylvania has introduced legislation to change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
But can you imagine, Peter, getting that phone call after you've given your eyesight for your country, you're a good soldier, you did what you're supposed to do, you're injured, and you get the letter saying somebody had to read it to you that said, by the way, they want $3,000 of their money back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what would you do until it? And then he had to go to his congressman, and they said, no, this is not going to happen. This is wrong. In the meantime, they're going to dun him for that money because there's a bean counter somewhere in Indianapolis that doesn't think he deserves it. I'll calm down.
Thank you. Please do. Dwayne in Mill Valley, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, two comments. One, you know, part of the problem is when you get into a war, it's almost too late, and that's why People's Lobby thinks the American World Service Corps, getting Americans to serve so they don't get dumbed down, so they don't get into silly wars, really reduces the chance of having vets that suffer what they do. The second thing that People's Lobby is working on, our second piece of legislation, we worked very closely with Nadia McCafferty, whose son was killed by the Iraqi troops that were being trained up to replace him. And her goal and that organization's goal is to build veterans' villages across the country. And one is about to open, a very small one in Guerneville. A fellow has donated a large house, in essence, where six vets will be living. And even though it's caused some consternation among neighbors, these are vets who are just a few steps away from getting back into the work routine. So the two points I'd like to make is that, you know, we agree, and there's a lot of people out there that are trying to help, even though the raising financial resources to get the Veterans Village going is difficult, and the same with the World Service Corps. But you've got to, you know, in our minds, both deal with the vets, and maybe citizens have to get involved to show the government the right way to do it and build villages across the country where they have months to recuperate.
Dwayne, you know, is there a website for the Veterans Village Project?
Yes, it's veteransvillage.org.
Okay.
Or patrickspirit.org, too.
Okay.
And the World Service Corps website is worldservicecorps.org.
Okay, great. Got to move along here, but thanks for the call. Interesting comments. Go ahead, Scott. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a new report on MSNBC. That one in five returning troops may have brain injury. Now, and they're likening mild brain injury to a concussion. What happens when a football quarterback or a boxer gets too many concussions?
They
stop doing what they're doing.
That's right.
And so now we are with troops at three or four tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. We don't see any end to it soon. And this is invisible, just like you don't know if the quarterback has a concussion or not until he starts slurring his words and acting funny.
Right.
The same thing with his troops with TBI. And it's there's some research money out there, but, of course, the Republican Congress wanted to cut it last time they had control of the spending bill.
I remember that. Carl Young joins us from Fortuna. He's an active veteran in Humboldt County. Hello, Carl.
How you doing, Peter? And it's really nice to hear that we're on some sort of level of discussion concerning our houseless vets. We started realizing that about my sixth stand down, that we had a lot of vets out there that, you know, by nature want to be on their own, left alone, shut in, whatever the case may be. So I think sometimes putting a number on the number of vets out there that are homeless is a little false at best.
Well, that may be, but for Bill O'Reilly to try to claim that the number is excruciatingly small is an insult to the veterans who have ended up either by choice or through circumstances living on the streets.
Besides, Carl, I just completely disagree with you. Knowing the bureaucracy the way I know it, you cannot get anything done unless you can quantify it, because they can sit around the big conference room table and say, we don't have any numbers. It must not be a problem. We have to quantify it in some way. And
right. I know we got both of you jumping on me there, but the bottom line is that there are a large number of veterans out there that are homeless. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to quantify, I think one of the best studies, the surveys I've ever done, was down in Georgia. And I was talking to the head of the VA homeless task force program, and he literally went out to every alley, every place he could possibly go to count heads. And it was consistent, a way of percentages and things like that, with the overall numbers that are out there. A way of, you know, percentage-wise, the number of vets that are out there that are homeless, 25% of the adult female males that are homeless are veterans. And so, but the next thing is that there is a level of financing that does come out from the VA to support homeless programs. One is the North Coast Veterans Resource Center up here in the North Coast. We have other programs in Sacramento. Are they enough to meet the job? No. Are there enough outreach workers to get people into the program? No. We have a large number of veterans in prison because they couldn't make the transition across there and ended up getting in trouble because of some drugs or whatever the case may be.
Carl, I'd like to give you more time, but I don't have it. So thank you very much for joining us today. Appreciate the work you're doing in Humboldt County.
Yeah,
Scott Dick, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Peter.
Very good hour.
Pleasure.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay.
Oh, actually, next week I'll be in Washington, so you get the week off. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Stream my show, everybody.
All right. That's Scott Dick. Check him out at KRXA540.com.
About this election tells us the exit polls are right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the Bay Area premiere of Uncounted tonight in Oakland at the Grand Lake Theater. Showtime 7 p.m. Brad Friedman and filmmaker David Earnhardt will be in the house. Grab your own DVD at uncountedthemovie.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, slow growth, not a recession. He told Congress today that some quick government spending would give the economy a boost, but he wouldn't be specific.
I don't want to usurp Congress's prerogative in terms of figuring out the best ways to get
that's
money.
That's okay. You could do that if you want.
Congress tried to corner Bernanke into saying, you know, which particular fiscal stimulus would be best to get the economy revved up again, and he wouldn't be pinned down. He did endorse the idea of a stimulus, said it could be helpful, but it was key that it was timely and that it was targeted.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason. Democrats in Congress want to target low and middle income people, but the Bush administration has a different approach.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush no longer needs persuading that the economy's in trouble and a stimulus plan is needed. He'll unveil his ideas tomorrow after meeting with his team of economic advisors. We're told he favors tax rebates for individuals and investment tax breaks for business. He discussed the matter in a conference call with congressional leaders, including Democrats who want more money for those on food stamps and unemployment benefits.
Battered by more bad news, including $16 billion in losses at Merrill Lynch and a big drop in home construction, the stock market suffered more declines. The Dow closed 306 points lower at 12,159. In the first 12 trading days of the year, the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 have given up all of their 2007 gains. And in Friday morning trading in Tokyo, Japan's Nikkei average is down 3%. It's unconfirmed, but Stemagen, a biotech company in La Jolla, California, says it's used cloning technology to create 5 human embryos. They were later destroyed during testing. If verified, the scientists at Stemagen would be the first to have cloned human beings as a source of stem cells. The U.S. abortion rate has declined dramatically.
It's at its lowest level in the United States in more than 30 years.
It is now the case that the abortion rate is at its lowest level since 1974.
Rachel Jones, Guttmacher Institute. 1.2 million abortions recorded in 2005. That is down 25% from the all-time high of 1.6 million in 1990. Why? The so-called morning after pill.
We found out that mifepristone, also known as RU486, matters, that it is having an impact on abortion services.
Both sides of the abortion issue consider the Guttmacher survey the most comprehensive in the country. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
6 soldiers sent into combat. The Denver Post says more than 50 troops deemed medically unfit or considered borderline are in Kuwait on their way to Iraq. That's disputed by Dee McNutt, a spokeswoman at Fort Carson, Colorado.
If they're not capable of performing the combat mission, they won't be sent into combat. A commander is never going to make a decision to put a soldier or his comrades in jeopardy because of an injured soldier.
According to the Post, at least 2 ailing soldiers have been sent home. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. The fact is you breathe 1,000 times an hour. And the EPA says that indoor air pollution can be up to 10 times greater than outdoor levels, which is why we created the new professional air purifier with the revolutionary Truman Cell. For a 60-day risk-free trial, call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Air pollution is not a myth, and this offer is nothing to sneeze at.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot guarantees you low prices on ink, so you never have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot WorkLife Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP.
The demand for energy ran up against wildlife conservation at a hearing on Capitol Hill today. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Democrat Ed Markey of Massachusetts said the welfare of the polar bears in Alaska is more important than the sale of oil leases there.
We shouldn't be selling the drilling rights in this important polar bear habitat.
A decision has been delayed on putting the polar bear on the endangered species list that was criticized by Jamie Rappaport Clark of Defenders of Wildlife.
The polar bear's Arctic sea ice is literally melting away.
And Stephen Amstrup of the U.S. Geological Survey said an oil spill there could lead to disaster.
The effect of oil on polar bears is likely to be fatal.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Two officials of the Interior Department told Congress that oil and gas exploration in the Chukchi Sea off Alaska would not threaten the bears, saying there are sufficient safeguards in the Marine Mammal Protection Act. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What is the Truman Cell? It's the best defense against bad household air on the market today, and only Orrick has it. Can it make a difference in the quality of your life? See for yourself. Try an Orrick Professional Air Purifier risk-free for 60 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get one to you faster than you can say Gesundheit. 1-800-989-4200.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's time for the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any point of view. Yeah, even Jerry from Oakland called yesterday with that... Well, that smear of Muslims. We'll take your call and listen as long as we can tolerate it. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And I want to encourage our Bay Area listeners, tuned to Green 960, to call in today or tomorrow, because starting Monday, it'll be more difficult. There's a schedule change that kicks in on Monday, and in the afternoon, you're going to be hearing Randy Rhodes, and I will be on late at night. At midnight, it will not be a live broadcast, so you'll be hearing a replay of the show that took place that day from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And if you like, you can drop me an email to stay in touch, peter@peterbcollins.com. You can also listen live during our live origination period online at peterbcollins.com. There's a link there for you. And the podcasts are available 24/7. And so there are many ways that you can access the program. And I hope that if you've been listening over the last few weeks in San Francisco and enjoyed what we do, that you'll stay with us in one form or another, either the broadcast late at night, the podcast, or the live stream. And to underscore, this doesn't have any impact on any of our other stations, Monterey, Sacramento, Eureka, Coos Bay, Portland, and Missoula. All will retain the very same schedules that you have been accustomed to. And also, as I said earlier in the program today, I want to try to reward some of our listeners who don't get to listen live or who choose to listen at their convenience to a podcast, and I want to cut you in on the free DVDs we have of Uncounted, this powerful new documentary about stolen elections in this country. And so we are conducting an online giveaway for podcasters, Portland and Missoula listeners who hear us on the weekend. And all you got to do is drop an email to peter@peterbcollins.com. Be sure to put DVD in the subject line. And this coming Monday at noon, we're going to take all the entries and put them in a hopper and pick one and send a DVD to one lucky listener who listens in that manner. Again, my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. One more item for our San Francisco listeners. Most people on the West Coast are quite familiar with a man named Bernie Ward. For many years, he has held down the late-night shift on a powerful AM talk station out of San Francisco. In December, a federal grand jury returned a three-count indictment against Bernard Ward for allegedly possessing and sending child pornography images. Bernie was researching a book, and he has acknowledged that he visited some websites, he went into a chat room, and I believe it's on the public record now, that he acknowledged sending some emails to an unknown individual who then apparently decided to press charges against him. And while those are the baseline facts, his intent was not to abuse young children, was not to promote pedophilia, was not to commercially benefit in any way from the images that he looked at. And as a talk show host who's done quite a bit of research into many different subjects, I shudder to think that if my computer hard drives were examined by the FBI, they might be able to find some website that I clicked on a link and went to, and it had some images that are forbidden by some law or some rule. And I believe that the prosecution that is shaping up against Bernie Ward is political in nature. It is clearly a selective prosecution. And the government appears to want to really nail Bernie Ward and make sure that he goes to federal prison for at least 5 years. I think this is a gross injustice. And this coming Tuesday at the San Francisco Federal Building, on Golden Gate Avenue, there's a rally at 1 p.m. I will be there. I believe Bernie's going to be there. And I would like to invite you to be there as well. If there's any way that you can get off work and transport yourself to San Francisco's Civic Center area, I think it's very important that we have a strong showing of support for Bernie Ward at this critical time. And if you can, you can Google on the web Bernie Ward and Defense Fund, and you'll get to the website where you can make a contribution to help to defray the huge expense, legal expenses, that have been imposed on Bernie because of this politicized, selective prosecution. And I also support the efforts to get Bernie back on the air. I don't believe that he needs to be suspended from his broadcast duties because he has been accused in this manner. And from what I understand, the local management of the station that he works for is working very hard to persuade the top brass at corporate to permit Bernie to return to the air. And I hope that happens very, very soon. So I encourage you to support Bernie in any way you can. If you're in a position to write a check, please do. If you're in a position to come to the rally Tuesday at the Federal Building in San Francisco, I hope you will. And if you go to that website, there are links to the corporate owners of that radio station, and I encourage you to contact them and support Bernie's desire to get back on the radio. Paul is joining us now from, it looks like, Lolita. Hello, Paul.
Oh, hi. How you doing, Peter?
Where is Lolita?
We're about 3.5 miles from Fortuna. We'd be north of Fortuna, where the fellow who's on active duty call from, and he's doing a real good work. I'm not a veteran myself, but I work in a transitional housing facility, and I won't name any names because that would be unprofessional, and it wouldn't be respectful to the veterans that have come through the facility.
Mm-hmm.
But there is. I feel like there's probably more than the statistics show, because a lot of veterans have a lot of pride. I know one fellow who didn't even come through our facility who got to be an E5 in 19 months. He was did tour in Vietnam, and he has four Bronze Stars, by the way. And he, when I'm walking down the street with him sometimes, he will just walk off. He's like one and off on point, because he was the type of guy who wouldn't send any young, inexperienced combat guys into a situation where they had to be the first guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he would always do it, so it really affected him. He is extremely intelligent, but unable to bring things together because of the trauma that he faced in war.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fellows like that out there who are brilliant, but they have something that stops that brilliance, which is the traumatic injury to the heart, which is in combination with a brain injury from either chemicals like Agent Orange, or just the, like you short-circuit a computer when it's overloaded and it crashes down, or a short-circuit electrical system would be better. That's what happens to the to a lot of veterans, and that I don't think they even diagnose that, because it would be there'd be so many under that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they'd probably put it under the shell shock, because my dad's is a Pearl Harbor survivor, and he used to always call things like that shell shock. That's what they called it back then.
Right.
Anyway, that's basically what I wanted to say, but I did want to say that the fellow in Fortuna is doing a really good work. And
you're talking about Carl Jung.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know him. I don't think I know him personally, but
I've met him a couple of times. He's a real stand-up guy.
I didn't want him to think I was disrespecting by disagreeing with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, then. Hey, take it easy, Peter.
I appreciate your call today. Thank you very much. Gerard in Oakland is next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter B. This is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Gerard. Hey, listen, man. I have to tell you, I have to explain something, though. It's not that I'm a Christian or a Jew or anything like that. I'm a Wiccan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an infidel that's in a further orbit out from the Mohammedans than any Jew or any Christian. To me, the only God is the Earth Mother and the Sun Father.
Jerry, that doesn't give you any license to slime a whole religion and a whole group of people. No, it doesn't.
And this is why I also approved highly of the fact that some organization somewhere was doing something against elephant poachers. I would buy them the most top-notch ammo that money can buy.
It's time we help them fight back because they can't fight for themselves. Jerry, give it a rest. You're exposing yourself as somebody who values animal life over human life.
Well, guess
because
what?
Because you can write off a
guess
whole
what?
Culture and religion.
You're exposing yourself, Peter B., as somebody who thinks that human life is the most precious thing on this earth, and it is not. The only thing more numerous than human beings are ants and microbes. Therefore, I have no problem whatsoever wiping this earth from the Mohammedan fanatics that fill Gitmo. Or for that
Jerry,
matter, hey,
Jerry,
I wish
Jerry,
we had not invaded
Jerry,
Iraq.
Jerry,
I wish
you
we had
are
invaded.
So, Jerry, you are so misinformed.
Dude,
to
we
suggest,
let me talk.
To
I
suggest,
mean, I know you leftists don't want
I,
to let
I
people
just let
have
you make
floor.
A statement, and you made a statement that isn't true. You said that Guantanamo is filled with dangerous Muslims. And there are a hand
fanatics who would chop your head off just to see your larynx flap. Dude,
Jerry,
you got to get a life, dude. I'm trying to bring you down to this Mother Earth, which is the only God. Those
Jerry,
who deny,
Jerry, Jerry, give yourself a rest, okay? I'm sorry. I don't consider you lucid or coherent, and rational would be quite a stretch as well. Jen in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Hi, Peter. That guy scared me. I almost forgot what I had to say. Oh, my God. Okay, anyway.
Just the bottom line is that Muslims are expendable, but animals cannot be poached at any cost.
Oh my God! You know that is not even worth.
Well, there's a moral code there, but it requires decoding, I think.
Right, and I think you know we have a responsibility to not slaughter anything, and you certainly can't say okay, it's okay to slaughter this and not okay to slaughter that. It's just ludicrous. But the reason I'm calling is. This spade comment that he, you know, over and over and over again, and, you know, that supports what I've always said about racism being alive and well, And it is just so sad that he's allowed to be on the air and talk that garbage, and other people saying, yep, see, that's what we're talking about, ha, ha, ha. You're right. It's nothing funny about that. It's absolutely nothing funny, and trust me, everybody got it.
And just for background, in case people didn't hear what we played earlier, it's a clip from Rush Limbaugh where he has a very lame set of jokes about spade and hoe. A listener called in and explained that the spade word was first used by Hillary Clinton. I was not aware of that. But that does not give him license or any permission whatsoever to create this crude, racist comedy skit. A bit is what we call it in radio. It's a bad bit. It's an ugly bit. It's a racist one. And it needs to be rejected by anyone who hears it. Jen, I'm late for a break. Thank you for your comment today. 888-5-PETER-B. Join us. You can call in and tell us what's on your mind. 888-573-8372. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help you get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis, addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in expert guests and we'll do it with humor. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Looking at traffic on KRXA, not a whole lot going on, to be honest with you. We're going to mention a big San Jose problem, however. Looks like First Street between San Fernando and Santa Clara closed while crews assess fire damage to a building. Now, for people taking the VTA trains, they're running buses instead of light rail between Children's Discovery Museum and the Civic Center, Japantown, St. James, Santa Clara, San Antonio, and Convention Center stations closed until it looks like tomorrow, 5 p.m. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report. Santa Clara County getting word of a problem there. It's 152 just west of Bell Station. It's a cow, moo, walking in the station. I know you're grateful for those sound effects you just heard. And this report brought to you by Gold Bond Foot Cream. For softer, healthier feet this winter, get Gold Bond Foot Cream with 7 intensive moisturizers plus soothing vitamins that work as hard as your feet. Get Gold Bond Foot Cream. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're knee-deep in the free speech zone. All the lines are busy right now, but you can call in when one clears. 888-5-PETER-B. And for the benefit of listeners who had to work and weren't tuned in earlier today, I'll play an excerpt for you of the clip from Rush Limbaugh where he belabors the term spade in a clear racist slur against Barack Obama, and then doubles down with the word ho, which we should infer is applied to Senator Hillary Clinton. Let's listen to part of this.
Being a victim and piling on, Obama is holding his own against both of them, doing more than his share of the spade work. Maybe even gaining ground at the moment, using not only the spade, ladies and gentlemen, but when he finishes with the spade in the garden of corruption planted by the Clintons, he turns to the hoe. And so the spade work and his expertise using a hoe.
Now, as we learned from a listener, apparently it was Hillary Clinton who made some comment about how Barack Obama wasn't doing the spade work, and that's what prompted Rush Limbaugh to be to dream up this bit. That is no excuse, and it is deeply offensive, and I think he owes an apology to America, if not much more. And to the flap between the Clinton and Obama campaigns about her invocation of Martin Luther King and LBJ regarding voting rights and civil rights, John Carroll in the San Francisco Chronicle made a powerful point today. He said, you know, people are distracted by that issue, but the Clinton campaign and those related to it have been trying to change the rules for the caucuses that are held in Nevada this Saturday. And they want to prevent several caucuses from being held on the Strip because they would be dominated by members of the Culinary Workers, who are mostly black and Latino and who are assumed to be pro-Obama. John Carroll goes on, disenfranchising black voters. What a way to start the second Clinton administration. Why aren't people making speeches about that instead of the accurate and innocuous Lyndon Johnson remark? Well, I think that's an important point to chew on. Let's go to Dave in Eureka. Welcome, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. I'm calling in response to the Wiegand hothead that you had a couple of calls ago, because most of the Wiegand people that I know here are very considerate, rational, thoughtful, humanists. They do care about people, not just animals. So.
Well, I wouldn't demean Wiccans or any other group that Jerry from Oakland claims to belong to, because, I'm sorry, Jerry is ill-informed, and he has opinions that kind of go beyond rational into the hate zone. And I simply don't agree with him. And while I will take his call, you can see that it doesn't last so long. Chris and Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing, Peter?
Pretty good.
I don't want to hijack your show here, but I'm really outraged with Fabian Nunes.
Uh-huh.
I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, they were holding hearings, his destructive health care bill that he's trying to push with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And a group called Taxpayers for Common Sense, I believe, and Consumer Rights, Jamie Court. I think you might have had him on your show at one
sure.
time.
Sure, uh-huh. He's affiliated with Harvey Rosenfeld. People know about that group.
And they brought a gentleman in from Massachusetts. Well, a gentleman came from Massachusetts to testify on how this so-called mandatory insurance doesn't work. So they canceled the hearing. So they decided to have a press conference outside or in the Capitol in the Rotunda, where they always have these press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fabian Nunes called the CHP and had them removed from the Rotunda, and then also had them cited. Two of the people from the taxpayers group. And it's just, this guy's a Democrat, you know, and where's the free, he's limiting free speech on this, you know, if they weren't, because they were against his plan, they are against his plan, he had this done.
Well,
I find this outrageous.
And Chris, I'm glad you brought this forward. It's another reason not to vote for Prop 93, which would give Fabian Nunez another 4 years in Sacramento. And I'm opposed to term limits on principle, but these guys do not deserve any extra time. And the faster we can get him and Don Perata out of there, I think the better off we'll be. Thanks for your call today, Chris. I appreciate it. 888-5-PETER-B if you want to join the conversation. That's 888-573-8372. I hope you're planning, Bay Area listeners, to be at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland tonight, 7 p.m. for the screening of Uncounted.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Holistic and alternative practitioners and individuals love the energy from the Amethyst Biomat. It offers natural and effective heat therapy in NASA-based technology. Far infrared heat simulates the immune system by causing an artificial fever and stimulating the immune system with multiple benefits. Improve many bodily problems with alkalizing your pH, removing acidic waste deposits responsible for most illnesses. Just lie on it to benefit with five different sizes. Give the power to create a fever and cure most diseases. To find out more about what the Amethyst Biomat can do for you, visit www.amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com. Or call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262. That's 1-888-337-7262.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. There's a line for you. 888-573-8372. And as I mentioned, there is the Bay Area premiere of the documentary film Uncounted, screening at the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland tonight at 7 p.m. Our pal Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and filmmaker David Earnhardt will be there. We had a tremendous turnout in Sacramento for the debut there on Tuesday night. I want to thank everybody who joined us at the beautiful Crest Theater. It was an excellent crowd, lots of good questions, and I think it'll be another great event in Oakland tonight. And again, if you want to get your own DVD copy, you can purchase it at the website uncountedthemovie.com. More of your calls now. Cynthia in Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. As a former San Franciscan Wiccan, both not living in San Francisco and not being a Wiccan anymore, I just wanted to remind that rather manic caller who claims to be a Wiccan about the law of threes, which basically means whatever you put out, you get back three times. So he better be careful what he's putting out there.
Well, I'll just let his comments rise and fall on their own merits.
Well, it's a gentle reminder.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and again, you know, I'm pretty open to a lot of different points of view. But when somebody, you know, tries to make fun of me while they are offering these kind of broad-based slimes and slurs, you know, tolerance runs out pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, maybe he needs to get back on his meds. You know,
all right, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Tom Unsicker is on the line. He's the man who's taking courage to Congress, and you can follow his progress. He's riding his bicycle from Santa Cruz, where he left on the 15th of December, to the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. And today, we believe he's made it over the border into Mississippi. Is that right?
I crossed the Big Muddy. That's right, Peter B.
Well, congratulations. What kind of a day was it for you, Tom?
115 miles.
Wow.
Pretty decent road surface, a little bit of a tailwind, and boy, I felt like I was in Santa Cruz when I first took off because it was foggy and cold.
Oh, wow. And what did you find when you got across the river?
Well, I found Mississippi, basically, and a young lady in the hotel where I'm staying who wants the Bush family to head to Iraq and pick up guns because it's not fair for them to put our young men and women over there without them putting their lives on the line, too.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
And what kind of reaction have you gotten to your little bicycle caravan there with the trailer that's loaded with these balls to give courage to Congress?
I haven't had one person yet think that it was gross or a bad idea. Everybody says, good for you and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So on both sides of the aisle, there seems to be a need for Congress to get off their hands and do some.
And Tom, give us a couple of examples, left and right, when people hear the metaphor that you're using, that you're carrying these ping pong balls in pairs, you want to deliver them to members of Congress as cojones to help them buck up their courage. What issues do people tie it to? On the right, do they think Congress needs more courage to pass some really hardline immigration legislation, for example?
I haven't heard any immigration comments since Arizona.
Uh-huh.
That was really big there. Mostly it's economic on the right. They want jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm meeting mostly working people right now. You know, people who are on the edge, and the right-wing people, even though they're spouting the talking points, want a progressive agenda. They want the jobs to come back. They want a secure economy. They want medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And on the left, I'm hearing pretty much the same message, but with a lot of input on the troops and bringing everybody home safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any touching?
There's more commonality than there is difference. It's really surprising.
Yeah. Any other quick stories you want to tell us on the road there from Mississippi?
Well, basically, lots of dogs.
All friendly, or has anybody gotten a piece of your calf?
Three tried today to get a piece of my calf, but one I saw waiting for me beside a garbage can, so I aimed right for it, pedaled up to about 22 miles an hour, and started growling at it. Its jaw dropped, its eyes got really big, and it just stood there and stared. It didn't know what I was doing.
It didn't know what breed of dog was riding that bicycle past it.
You got it. There is one other thing, too, Peter. I've had a lot of time to reflect on the road. You made a comment a couple of days ago that set me thinking. And I think you're absolutely 100% right that the media is setting the message here, not only for the candidates in the primaries, but also what's getting out to the people. There has been a shift in the media toward domestic issues. You know, they're sort of phasing out and ignoring the war, the constitutional issues, you know, impeachment, whatever, and focusing on the domestic. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I've changed my rap. I'm starting to ask people directly, how do you feel about the war?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm getting some real interesting input.
Great. Well, Tom, you're carrying a message for all of us to Washington. I'm glad you're doing this, and I want you to check in as often as you can tomorrow, if possible, and we will follow your progress. And again, I want to direct people to your website, courage2congress.com, and click on the link at the bottom, and you'll get this fabulous map that shows Tom's daily progress. So thanks a lot, Tom. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You're welcome, Peter, and I'll talk to you tomorrow if I can.
Okay, real good. That's Tom Unziker taking courage to Congress. Sally in San Rafael listening on Green 960. You're on the PBC show.
Hi, Peter. I've listened to you off and on for years. And I have a quick thing about Wicca and pagans.
All right.
And I think, and this is really easy, the number one rule that we live by is, and it harm none, do as you will. And that's, and it harm none in word and deed. If we all lived by that, we wouldn't have a problem.
Well, and that's really kind of a rewrite of the invocation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Except I call it the old-time religion. We predate Christianity, so. Anyway, that was it. I just wanted to call and say, and it harmed none, and if we could all live by that. And then the other guy, you know, I wish him whatever he thinks is appropriate.
Yeah, I hope he can find some peace. Clearly, it's not there right now.
Anyway, thanks.
All right, thank you, Sally. Now to Roger in Eureka. Welcome, Roger. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Howdy, Peter. I just wanted to let you know I was at the Bill Clinton number in Eureka last night.
Yeah, how did it go?
Well, it went actually very, very well. Since I'm on the Democratic Central Committee, I got called in at 10:30 in the morning to help do all the setup.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I looked at the room, I said, this is way too small. And other people said, yeah, it's way too small. But the campaign wanted to make sure they had a full room.
Yeah.
And the Secret Service and their advance people wanted to make sure they had a full room. So they chose to use the smaller of two buildings at Redwood Acres Fairgrounds.
Interesting.
And we had more people left outside than got inside.
Mm-hmm.
And inside were approximately 400. Now, I know that the young lady from KGOE called you yesterday,
right,
late in your program, but
uh-huh.
I wasn't able to hear that because I was too busy doing all the work. Bill Clinton did a magnificent talk, and if he'd been the only person I'd ever listened to regarding a political candidate for the Democratic nomination,
mm-hmm.
I would be 100% behind Hillary. However, having listened to Barack Obama and Dennis Kucinich and John Edwards at previous functions, I'm still not sure. But he did a masterful job of selling his wife.
He's a great salesman. He really is.
He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He came in somewhat late, but, you know, political campaigns run late. Gave a beautiful speech, did a lot of press the flesh with about the first three or four rows back in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Was very well received. The promotional person that was there did a good job of helping get everything set up. The Secret Service was not oppressive.
And did you feel, at the end of the evening, Roger, did you feel that he had changed any minds? It doesn't look like it worked on you.
I don't know whether he changed any minds or not, but mm-hmm. we are so isolated up here in the northern end of the state that any big name that shows up is going to generate a tremendous crowd.
Yeah.
The last big name, as far as I can recall, that we had here was when Richard Nixon and Lyndon Baines Johnson came together when Nixon was president to dedicate the Lady Bird Johnson Grove in Redwood National Park,
mm-hmm.
like 30 years ago.
Right.
And all kinds of people will show up to see a celebrity. And I don't care whether the celebrity would be Barack Obama, Dennis Kucinich, John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. If Bush showed up in this town, there'd be a huge turnout. Arnold Schwarzenegger came up here for a breakfast, and there were way more people that could get into wherever he was.
Well, I question you on the Bush thing. How many members of the Arkley family are there?
There's only about six or seven, but they have a lot of friends.
I see. All right, Roger.
We're angling for a contract for something.
Thanks for the report. Great to hear from you.
So I just wanted to report every time I go to a big Dem number, I give you a call, and I went to one.
I'm glad you did. Thank you, Roger.
See you, Peter.
Also, I got word from UC Davis where Bill Clinton appeared on Tuesday night at 9 p.m., and the event had only 24 hours advance notice. And apparently 4,000 people were in the auditorium and 3,000 people couldn't get in. So he's still a rock star draw in political circles. Dave and Vallejo, you're on the air. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. I was on the road last hour, and so this is a little late, but it's part of an anecdote about the GIs that are losing some of their enlistment bonuses.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine from Fairfield came back from Iraq and started to have seizures. So it took him about 9 months to decide that he should not go back to Iraq for a second tour and, in fact, was given a medical discharge. Problem is, he was at Fort Hood, Texas. Now, when I got out of Vietnam, I was given transportation to my home of record. And I don't know, maybe the military is not doing that anymore, but this young man was let out at Fort Hood, and that's where he was. And his dad had to send a ticket to get him back to Fairfield. So the military was not willing to pay for him because they gave him a medical discharge and he was out.
Wow.
So maybe the Pentagon's taking care of the enlistment bonus problem, but I'm not sure if he's going to get his VA benefits and what's going to happen to him. So.
Well, you might suggest that he contact your local member of Congress because they can often break through the mess at the VA and cut through that red tape.
Good point.
And that's one way you might be able to get some results there.
Yeah, but keep up the good work.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
okay,
your call today.
Mm-hmm.
It's I pulled down the wrong fader. It's 46 minutes past the hour, and I've just learned.
Trash.com.
Reporter R.J. Shulman is available. R.J. Shulman has been fired from 13 major daily newspapers, and he now publishes his reportage at PTSD1.blogspot.com, the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. R.J., how's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And let's just jump to your lead story at the PTSD Today. President Bush has been touring all the great democracies in the Middle East, like the Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and he just for garnish stopped off in that great democratic country of Egypt for a couple of hours before coming back to the U.S. But the most curious scene was in Saudi Arabia, where he not only kissed up to the king, but he kissed him. Air kisses delivered to each cheek, and a lot of hand-holding goes on. And this has to make the skin crawl of a macho, macho dude like George W. Bush.
Well, I'm not so sure that, you know, what he's feeling. I mean, I do know that he uses the word fabulous way too often and seemed rather comfortable doing that. I think that he feels very comfortable in that country.
Now, he came away with a scimitar and some kind of a gold thing that they hung around his neck, but he asked the Saudis to pump more oil, and they basically said, huh? Why would we do that? We're making a boatload of money right now, and we're ripping it right off of the American public.
Yeah, they just said, well, we're just going to wait for the market forces. And Bush was about to say that that's, you know, an awful way to do it, and he realizes that's his own philosophy. So
yeah,
stops cold.
Well, and once again, you have these great quotes from the president. Just like in biblical times when those that walked like an Egyptian didn't allow the Jewish folks to have leavened bread and made them eat bagels and lox instead, we need their predecedents to open up the spigots and produce more oil barrels. Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did. As you know, at PTSD, we're there to catch the actual comment, and we don't clean it up. We don't clean it up on the page, and we don't take it. You know, they clean up the audio as well, and they digitally remaster all of that.
Right.
And so the American public never hears what this man really says.
All right, another quote. I was surprisicated, Bush said, as I offered everybody, the Saudis, the Egyptians, and the Israelis, lots of weapons. I fully expected with all the weapons I'll be sending that part of the world to that part of the world, that by the time I'd left, the Middle East would be up in arms, way up in lots of arms. Well, gosh, that's truer than he probably knows. Got time for one more story. You want to do Romney or McCain?
I think that Romney is pretty good.
All right. And this was posted just before his victory in Michigan. And you quote him as saying, if I can't buy Michigan votes, I may have to take drastic measures.
Yeah, and we don't actually know if he took the drastic measures because he ended up winning. And his drastic measure, and we have a quote here, again, this was something we caught, a candid comment. He said he wasn't going to quit if he didn't win. He was just going to have to sell his soul to the devil. We don't know if he did that to actually win one of the primaries. We were trying to get a comment from to confirm or deny this from Dick Cheney, but we were unable to reach him.
I see. Another quote from Romney, I'd spent a fortune and flip-flopped all over the place to win the nomination, tactics that have worked for most everyone else. If I can't capture my home state, I may have to take drastic measures. Well, RJ, that's all we have time for, but let's direct people to your website, ptsd1.blogspot.com, where they can get more of this information that somehow never makes it into the corporate media. Thanks, RJ.
All right, take care, Peter B.
All right, we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right.
More of your calls coming up next. We take a quick break and return here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Traffic on KRXA. Let's take a look at the latest, the last traffic report of the evening, and we are going to let you know that we do have not a whole lot of activity going on. In fact, nada, to be quite honest with you. If you're taking a look at southbound 17 and northbound 17 in the Santa Cruz Mountains, nothing going on there. Traffic at the speed limit. We're going to mention a noteworthy problem in San Jose. First Street between San Fernando and Santa Clara closed while crews assess fire damage to a building. VTA is running buses instead of light rail between Children's Discovery Museum and the Civic Center, Japantown, St. James, Santa Clara, San Antonio, and the Convention Center closed possibly until tomorrow at 5 p.m. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, pockets of slow traffic. Cold or no cold, the day must go on. So for the help you need to power through your day, get the non-drowsy multi-symptom relief of Vicks DayQuil. Use as directed. That's traffic on KRXA.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your solar future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to your solar future Saturdays at high noon. Go to yoursolarfuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to yoursolarfuture.com.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, our very good friend Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy, will be sharing his thoughts and vision for real estate in 2008 with a couple of very hot real estate opportunities. Also, check out our very own Jenny Green and the Green Opinion with their commentary on the world of green, renewable energy, clean technology, and green real estate. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots. With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Batman, we're almost out of time. And for our San Francisco Bay Area listeners, if you haven't heard the word, schedule change coming Monday. We'll be moving to midnight and a delayed broadcast. That's the radio way of saying it won't be live. So you can stay in touch with us. Drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. There's a live stream available via peterbcollins.com. And podcasts are available 24-7 of every show we do. So you can grab those at peterbcollins.com or green960.com. Let's see if we can squeeze in a couple more callers here. Keith in San Jose, welcome.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Yeah, I want to briefly talk about the election. I'm a registered voter. I'm a Democrat, and I'm going to try voting by mail for the first time. But what I'm a little confused about is last summer, I guess it was August or September, the Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen, recertified the touchscreen voting machines. As I understand it, there's going to be one in each precinct, and the rest is going to be on paper. But I understand she didn't get everything she wanted. What was left out?
Well, the deal on the touchscreens is that the disabled community feels that those machines can enable some people to vote privately and independently. And so she compromised and agreed to limit the deployment to one per precinct. We asked Brad Friedman about this in Sacramento the other night after the screening of Uncounted, and there's still issues with absentee or mail-in ballots because most of those are counted by the optical scanners, and we do regard those as vulnerable, not as vulnerable as the touchscreen computer-based machines, but the benefit, though, of the optical scanners and an absentee ballot is if there is a question or a recount or actually a full count of the ballots, there is a document that remains. And that's not the case even with the paper trail that can be added to the touchscreen machines.
And so, what impact could this have, you know, especially with the continued problems of the vote count and the optical scanners, say maybe on a super-duper Tuesday, February 5th primary, and maybe in a November election if they haven't resolved it in time?
Well, I don't know that I can predict that, but I think that we have to remain vigilant. We have to keep demanding improvements to our voting system, and we cannot just sit back and hope that the results come through cleanly and accurately. We've already seen problems in Michigan where the Democratic primary had just three choices, really, Kucinich, Clinton, or uncommitted. And in many precincts, the uncommitted didn't get counted. In other cases, they were unable to scan the ballots properly because they didn't use the right ink. So New Hampshire has serious issues as well. I direct you to bradblog.com for all the details there. Thanks for your call today. Robert in Daly City. Hi.
Hi, Peter. I'm so disappointed you're not going to be on live next week. I think the programming director at 960 The Green is making a serious mistake because they had the whole afternoon with just canned programming. You can't interact live. And they've done this before with Mike Malloy. And I just feel that you're representative of Northern California and such a high quality, have such a high quality program to speak to current issues that I just hope they eventually change their mind and put you back live in the afternoon. I think you're the best thing going on radio in the afternoon in Northern California.
I really appreciate that, Robert, and I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form. Thanks a lot. Jake in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Show.
Hey, Peter B. Yeah, let's talk about the South Carolina primary real quick. Mm-hmm. The latest McClatchy MSNBC poll shows that Barack Obama is at 40%, Hillary Clinton's at 31%, and John Edwards is at 13%. Now, this is the state where John Edwards was born.
Right.
He served as a senator in North Carolina. You know, let's be honest. If John Edwards can't win the South Carolina primary, then it's time for John Edwards to get out of this race and endorse Barack Obama before Hillary Clinton becomes the nominee.
Well, I think you make a very good point, and while I slightly prefer Edwards to Obama, as you know, I can't vote for Hillary Clinton, and so at this point, it's my determination to vote for Obama on February 5th, and I hope that we can expand his vote count so that he can challenge Hillary Clinton and hopefully win California. Jake, thank you very much. Appreciate that point. We're out of time today. I wish we had another hour, or two or three.
Happy trails.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations. Log on to peterbcollins.com and stay in touch.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until...
Everything we know about this election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
The Bay Area premiere of Uncounted is tonight, an hour from now, 7 p.m. in Oakland at the Grand Lake Theater. Brad Friedman from Brad Blog and filmmaker David Earnhardt will be there. Visit uncountedthemovie.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The check is practically in the mail. Congress and the Bush administration are discussing income tax rebates along with other government spending to help steer the economy away from recession. Help can't come soon enough on Wall Street, where the Dow dropped another 300 points today. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
While recession worries were sending the battered stock market tumbling to a 10-month low,
call the hearing to order.
The Fed chairman was telling Congress the economy needs a rescue package, and the sooner the better.
I think in order for this to be useful, you would need to act quite quickly.
Because the economic headwinds caused by the housing slump seem to be getting stronger.
Is it too late for a stimulus package to actually work?
I don't think so.
Former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers says there's still time to contain the damage.
Underlining the sense of urgency, President Bush had a conference call with congressional leaders today, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was pleased with what she heard.
Right at the start, the president said that there was a need for us to proceed with the stimulus package. He understands the concerns of the American people, and that gives me hope that we can, working together, come up with something very soon.
Mr. Bush outlines his proposal tomorrow. John McCain says he made a big mistake 8 years ago when he failed to challenge use of the Confederate flag in South Carolina. But one of his rivals in Saturday's Republican primary doesn't agree. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cortes reports.
President of the United States, a
buzzing about the
farewell.
State today, Mike Huckabee stirred up a hornet's nest with a surprisingly spirited defense of the Confederate flag.
In fact, if somebody came to Arkansas and told us what to do with our flag, we'd tell them where to put the pole. That's what we do.
It's red meat for many of the state's Republicans, but the flag is considered a symbol of slavery by others, including Huckabee's main rival here, John McCain. Meantime, the McCain campaign says it's deploying a truth squad to fend off the kind of dirty tricks that sunk the senator here 8 years ago.
The Democratic presidential hopefuls are concentrating on Saturday's caucus in Nevada. No one was killed, but authorities say 25 people were injured, at least three critically, after a bus wreck near the Nevada-California line. Kevin Honey of the Nevada Highway Patrol, the driver, apparently lost control.
The bus went up onto the concrete outside retaining wall. The bus continued down the concrete wall for, it looks like, approximately 600 feet. As opposed to rolling over, it looks like it just laid onto its right.